This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Big Show on TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. It is a Minook Denture Blue Bomber game day. Game day! Bombers in Vancouver to take on the BC Lions on the wet coast. Could be a little wet here this weekend. Some Vancouver weather. Super Spike! Lots of things going on. The British Open. Lots of things to get to today, actually. Brandon just mentioned SportsCenter Canada loss at the Gold Cup. Different kind of game from what I've seen from Canada. They attacked a lot.
I agree, man. There's hope.
Philosophy. I liked it.
For the first time in our lifetimes, really, honestly, there's hope with the men's national program.
Let's take it to you.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed
to talent.
To,
they got talent, right? Some
please
some
don't hurt us, world.
Interesting young offensive talent.
Yeah. They dangled.
Yeah.
They actually did. There
they
was a couple. I mean,
could have won the game.
The Honduras-Mexico game that was right after.
Dude.
Kind of. That, I mean, that you saw a bit of the disparity there.
The
but.
Second half was fun to watch in that game, though. The desperation and stuff. Like
that was
I kept Trey up late. I stayed up late for that. It was freaking fun to watch.
That is a bang on. For the first time in a long time, there's some hope.
First time ever, JT. There's no need to.
Well, what about the 80 World Cup, 82, or Bob Leonarduzzi when he stumped himself against Hungary? And we've yet to score a goal in a World Cup match.
That's fair.
On a wide open net.
Fair point.
And Frank Toth yelled, he stumped himself! Hungary will rise again! Lots to get to today. As we said, Blue Bombers game day. We're going to go live to Vancouver with Jeff Hamilton. We have audio and some big news came out yesterday. NHL news and notes. NFL play 60. We have some Minnesota Vikings going to stop by in studio. We talked about it yesterday, and I was more interested in how many people would be watching and the reaction, and it turned out that most everybody was, again, with the O.J. Simpson parole hearing. We'll touch on that a bit. We'll get into news and notes. So we have a six-pack as well. I might just go real, real easy this weekend and try and get us a couple wins because it was my fault last weekend. So we'll see what we can do. And it is Minook Denture Blue Bomber game day. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Rewicki, how are we, gentlemen?
Good, man. Had a lot of fun last night with just all the sports that was on that was captivating. And young fella, fun practice last night with the kids, getting them doing specific plays out on the pitch. And they're latching on, man. It's just such a beautiful thing to watch. I know I gushed about it lots, but watching kids on a U19 pick up, understand space and all the rest of it, it's just an absolute beautiful thing to watch. And then, of course, watching the Gold Cup games last night and also watching Hamilton, and I admit that I'm wishing Jeff Reinbold and the Ticats some level of good fortune and good luck, and to see Mike Riley rip their hearts out with a surgical like response on that final drive just to put the nail in the coffin. Quite a game last night, and again, you see a player in the CFL engage and shove a ref. All right, so the CFL has a problem. With that whole referee. And I tweeted out as soon as it happens. If Hill was suspended for 4 or 6 games, pick your chunky number, do you think this would have happened? No way.
Yeah.
And if it did, then you get another example with a 4 or 6 game suspension to never touch a ref in an aggressive manner.
To me, what stood out, an 18 points put up by the Eskimos in the fourth quarter. What stood out about that incident to me was the reaction of the ref. Because usually he was in shock at first, and then he threw the flag, but then it sort of looked like a little bit of, I don't know if it was, are you kidding me, or if it was fear.
Yeah.
But he had the
I think
look
it was, are
like,
you kidding me? But
are
yeah,
you
I
kidding
agree.
Me, or yeah. are you gonna touch me again? Or like, yeah. And that's what I take from the whole thing. An official should feel safe.
Yes.
No matter what. Mm-hmm. No matter what level they're officiating at. And I don't want to say he looked scared or fearful, but to me it was like a mixture of, are you kidding me? And are you going to give me another one? Or mm-hmm. are you going to grab me? Or what's next here? And that, to me, I don't want to say broke my heart, but it made me so sad for officials when that guy has a reaction like, yeah. Is there something else coming? Are you done? Like, come on.
Yeah, it's a good thing this is the only problem the CFL has right now. Oh, wait, they're just mounting on top of each other. And it is ridiculous, and you just there's no real explanation for it. You just can't have it.
Yep.
I've never seen this in any sports league. I've never seen multiple incidents in such a short period of time. And it's not like, look, it's not like he came in and blindsided the ref or anything serious, but the fact remains, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know, twice in a 3 week span at least, a referee has been pushed. And I almost don't even know what to think because I've never seen it before. The Weidman thing was kind of its own craziness, but there was no real incident elsewhere in that time frame, or maybe even in the season. But to have two of these almost back to back, I mean, it has to point to some kind of a systemic issue within the CFL, and how, I don't know if it's how the refs are being treated or if the players feel they have carte blanche to just go out there and, hey, we'll be fine. Commission's got our back. Nothing's going to happen to us. Like, yeah. Whatever it is, it that sort of attitude can't happen.
And this is Jim Tolth, Troy Wester, Brennan Rewicki on the Big Show, TSN 1290, by the way. I like the way we got out of the gate. We're fired up. So, what did you think of the overall officiating? Because I thought the game was well officiated.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
I thought it was night and day compared to the Ottawa game.
Agreed. So, it was refreshing, wasn't it?
And I think we should make that point, because if it was, we harp when it's not good. It was very well officiated, I thought, last night compared to the other stuff we've seen. But what do you think comes from that? Is this where Randy Ambrosi goes, okay, wait a minute, maybe I gave everybody a chance with one game for Hill. Now it's got to be three or what? Because to me, the contact wasn't as aggressive or severe as what Hill did. Mm-hmm. But if Hill gets one game, and we talked about this, and a lot of people we talked to around the CFL said, well, you know, there's no history of this, and there's no precedent set.
Well, there was precedent. There was precedent before, and it was of the one game variety, and that's what people said that he was likely to get. And that's what he ended up getting. And I would suspect the exact same thing here. This might, though, expedite. I wonder if this was something he's going to unfold in the offseason. I wonder now if this expedites the process a little bit, where you get another incident, and then in the next little bit here, he comes out with an official breakdown of what happens, a little bit more severe in punitive measures for players if you do make contact with a referee. I would sure hope that's what transpires here. Expect a one-game suspension, and then let's hope that Randy Ambrosi is really aggressive with this, coming out of the gate and laying down a real solid foundation for how to deal with such infractions going forward in a much more strong and punitive manner.
So what do you think he gets?
He'll get a game.
Yeah.
There's no way
that's
he gets
it?
More than it. It's an impossibility, I think, with the Will Hill thing being more aggressive and just getting a game. This is for sure just a game.
Yeah, and you know what? To be totally honest, too, I think even in normal circumstances, this would maybe be a game type of thing, because
yes.
it isn't egregious.
Oh, I disagree.
Or, really?
Absolutely. This should be, like, whatever the base, the starting line is for making contact with an official that isn't accidental, as far as like in the play field of play and that sort of thing. The baseline has got to be 4 or 6 games, I think. So you get something like this where out of aggression you make contact with the ref, which is what this is here, right? You've got a guy who's angry, whose brain doesn't tell him that the ref is sacred, you can't touch him. And he goes out and touches and you know, pokes at the ref the way he does. And to me, you got to start at 4 or 6 games for that. Like Jim was saying, contacting the ref in an aggressive manner has to be absolutely, completely out of bounds, out of the realm for a player on a field of play, court, ice, wherever you are.
It's interesting, because I'm along your lines, like, this should be a game out of the gate. The problem is this is the second incident, and that's what it'll be real interesting what he does. Sorry, Bob Weeks just tweeted, a reporter asked Conley at the British Open, is there any advantage in this weather to being shorter? And Conley responded, I've never been taller, so I can't really comment.
What kind of stupid question is that?
We'll keep you up to date on the British Open as it goes along. And
he's only like $1.50, too, so it's more a weight thing.
I'm surprised he didn't float away. That would have been my first question. Yeah. How'd you manage to keep both feet on the ground?
Is there an advantage being shorter in this weather? I've never been taller, so I couldn't tell you.
Good response, kid.
No lifts. Not like, get those high heels off. Mayweather, McGregor.
And saying what you just said, Mayweather or McGregor, sorry, I think about an hour ago just tweeted out a picture of him in a boxing ring saying, this is my boxing ring. Like, this is my ring, something like that, right? Like putting a stamp on the sport.
That's an interesting thing. It's a fun Friday, so we're all over the map here. But that's by the fourth one in England, I just wanted to shower. Like, the first presser, I was like, this is what I expected it to be. The second one, I was like,
climax
Toronto,
is Toronto.
Like, all right, yeah. Then New York, I was like, oh, this is just a gong show. And then by London, I was just like, I want a shower. This is greasy and dirty.
His tweet says, the boxing ring is mine. And he's standing there in full gear in the middle of the ring staring at the camera. It's a pretty cool pick.
We are going to touch on the Bombers and specifically a major injury. Mo Leggett is not only out for this game against the BC Lions that came out just after we went off the air yesterday, but or the morning show anyways, but he looks to be week to week, so it might be multiple games. But we'll stay with the Eskimo game right now. What did you think? Edmonton 4-0 now with a massive 18-point fourth quarter to pull a victory from the Hamilton Tiger Cats at home. And maybe as impressive as the Edmonton Eskimos being 4-0 is how surprising the Hamilton Tiger Cats without a win this year.
Yeah, and I suppose if we're going to start back at the initial, like, point A when the season started and the expectations with Hamilton, but at this point in time in week five here, it's fairly well documented, known that they're just, something's wrong with Hamilton. I know that they're down, like, their halfbacks, there are some injuries. But even that aside, the offense all alone is like, what's going on here? As you saw, Zach Collaros, SportsCenter, had a real good stat up with Zach Collaros and what he has struggled with since in the last nine games. He's 0-9. That goes back to last year. Passing yards per game, 234.9, which is darn near 100 yards less than average, it seems, about these days. Five touchdowns, seven interceptions. So remember back in the day, the conversation, Collaros, Willie, like, and Collaros was considered to be the best of this young, fresh pack. Even with Riley involved in that conversation, everyone was holding Collaros in a certain light. And he's just not, the offense is of concern in Hamilton, and maybe that's the most surprising thing, because the defense, at least you have the injuries to talk about. But right across the board here, the Hamilton thing is a mess, and we talked about their schedule, right? They had Edmonton last night, and now I believe they go on the road to Calgary and then on the road to Edmonton. Like, they're knocking on the door of 0-6 here in a real hurry, and you just wonder. Remember the genius that Kent Austin was being held in upon signing, and he is. He's fantastic at what he does, but you just kind of wonder how much of this that he's going to be able to weather and how patient they're going to be in Hamilton. And then you do go flip mode, and it's not unusual at all in football, in all sports, of course, when you have a team that's playing at a superior level coming in to play a team that's struggling a great deal, that the superior team kind of exhales and relaxes a little bit. And it allows the inferior team to make a game of it. And I think, for the most part, that's kind of what transpired last night, where Edmonton just didn't seem as sharp as we've seen them at other times during the course of the season until the fourth quarter hits, and specifically maybe that last drive where they played at the level they needed to play at to win the game late in the game, and that's a sign, a mark of a real good team where you can just sort of flip the switch and say, okay, boys, let's go and take care of business.
Yeah, watching the game, I honestly thought Hamilton was a terrible football team. They just look bad. And Zach Collaros is going to get killed at some point this season because, I mean, is he helping himself out a lot of the time? No, but, I mean, there's a number of plays where he's just running for his life, left and right, trying to make plays happen out of the pocket. Like, they're getting no help with their O-line. Having said that, too, though, Collaros isn't necessarily playing super well either, and you know, kind of with the Drew Willey thing, you wonder if all these hits he's taken over the past couple of years and, you know, some of the big injuries he's gotten, if maybe a guy gets a little gun-shy. And there was a couple times I noticed where he was in the pocket and no one really around him, and he would make trouble for himself and step up into the rush or step up into some of the Eskies D linemen. And it's just, they just look bad. Like, they're not, it's all over the field. It's not, I know the defense is kind of getting a lot of heat, and maybe rightfully so, especially that final drive where it's just mistake after mistake and poor tackling and missed assignments.
Penalties. Yeah.
They're just bad all around right now. There's really no other way to put it. They just don't do a lot of things right, and Edmonton spotted them three quarters. Like, Hamilton should have been up. Yeah. If Hamilton was playing at a decent clip, they would have been up by 21 points and the game would have been over. But they let Edmonton stick around, and eventually a quarterback as good as Mike Riley, he'll find a way to turn things around, and he did at the end.
Manuk Dencher, Blue Bomber Game Day starts tonight on the station at 7 o'clock, and we'll get into the Bomber game and hear from head coach Mike O'Shea and talk about the Maurice Leggett injury at 7:30. But we'll update you on the British Open next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 Summer Street Team is at Winnipeg's best events all summer long. We'll be at concerts, sporting events, charity fundraisers, and much more. We'll be bringing our spin-to-win wheel to give you a chance for great prizes like Jets gear, Tim Hortons and McMunnin Eats gift cards, a Burton snowboard with bindings from Alter Ego Sports, Winnipeg road trip getaways from Explore Egan, Minnesota, which includes two-night stays at Egan Holiday Inn Express, a $100 gift card for Casper's Cherokee of Egan, and family passes for four to Nickelodeon Universe, Moose Mountain, and the Sea Life at the Mall of America, and much more. Here's where you can find us this weekend at MTS Super Spike, July 21st, tonight and tomorrow, July 22nd, at Maple Grove Rugby Park. For more information on these great events and the TSN 1290 Summer Street Team, visit tsn1290.ca. Jim, Troy, and Brandon on The Big Show, 23 minutes past the opening hour. TSN 1290, and Matt Kuchar is tied after day one with Jordan Spieth and Brooks Koepka. Now, Spieth and Koepka will tee off around 1:48 our time and 2:10 our time for those two individuals. But Kuchar's out there right now through 14. He's even at 5 under, so he maintains a lead. Bubba Watson, who shot a 68 on day one, is currently 3 under through 7, but he just drove into the fescue from the fescue. So fescue to fescue, or the rough, I guess, is what we'll say. Also at 3 under is Kent Bouley, Ian Poulter, Justin Thomas, and Richard Bland of England. Rory McIlroy, 2 under through 9. And we go on. I guess the big news of the day, gentlemen, for Brandon and I, of course, is Hideki Matsui will tee off at 2:10. He's 2 under. That's who we picked to win. But Canadian Austin Conley is through for the second day. Shot an opening round 67, a second day 72. Conditions are miserable, but he's -1 after 2 days.
Super impressive. Huh? Like, you just got to love what this young fella is doing. Unfortunately, today he bogeyed 18, or he'd be in even better shape. But right now, to be tied for 16th after a couple of rounds here, and he's in and safe in the clubhouse as the things, you see everybody walking around the course with a Bob Cameron grimace into the wind right now. Right? Like, everyone's just like got clenching their teeth and battling away. You brought up a number of golfers there, JT, and maybe the most impressive outing yesterday at the end of it, although frustrating, would be what Rory McIlroy pulled off. Like, to come out and struggle to the degree that he did, what is he, 4 under? Plus five early on. Like, after 6 holes, he's sitting at +5, and then to come back and salvage to end up your day at 2 under, and to come out of the gate pretty well today, like to battle through that. That shows how much, to me, there's something sad about that. And I saw an interesting discussion. You know, should fans of Rory McIlroy be happy that he finished the day at 2 under, or more frustrated with the state of his mental game, where you come out and you struggle that much early on, and then you're able to turn it on? But it's all above the shoulders, it looks like, for Rory McIlroy as to just how exactly he's going to fare week to week.
But he is 7 under in his last 18 holes, so we kind of like, if he similar to Connolly, if he could maybe bump up to 3 under and get out of here, it's going to be rainy and windy all day there before Spieth and Kuchar and Koepka and all those guys are back out there. He's not in the worst spot in the world right now, and we've seen McIlroy. He's maybe the streakiest golfer on tour, and if he's hot, no one touches him. So I'm kind of looking at Jordan Spieth right now, and you know what? And all golf fans have been basically asking and praying for this, but I kind of hope we see the leaders come back to the pack a bit. Yeah. And let's get Spieth, Thomas, Koepka even, some of these guys in the top 10, and let's have them all within 1 or 2 shots of each other coming into Saturday and Sunday. And that's kind of where it's heading up here. So I really hope that we don't see somebody's, I don't expect it to happen, but hopefully McIlroy sticks in at around 2 or 3 under and the leaders come back a bit and we can finally, for the first time really ever, have some kind of a duel with multiple guys inside the top 10.
As opposed to a Richard Bland, Alex Noren final pairing on Sunday. I'm really surprised to see with Rory is wearing his wedding ring. Like, you'd think you spend your whole life gripping your glove with no rings on. Dude gets married, and I don't know why. Like, is he wearing it because he wants to or because he's being told to? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then now you're out there holding a club with the wedding ring on. To me, that's like that would really bother a lot of guys. You don't see guys wearing wedding rings out on the course very often. And for him to just start wearing a ring holding the club, that's interesting.
Is the mistake the ring or getting married?
Well, there's a debate to be had.
What weighs more, the ring or the pressure to wear it while you play?
The pressure is unbearable.
Because, you know, you tell the whole world you're mine, honey. You wear that when you're out there on TV.
I think he's obviously comfortable in it, or he wouldn't be doing it. Or he'd take it to Twitter.
I don't know. He might say, yeah, I'm comfortable, honey. Don't worry.
He just might want to be comfortable at home.
I do know he got some good advice from his spouse about Twitter.
I know there's really good tattoo artists nowadays, and they can make things look like they're on your skin that aren't. If the ring's giving him trouble, I don't know, maybe a little silver tattoo on the ring finger?
Other notables right now are Ricky Fowler, who probably will never wear a ring. Sergio Garcia, Jason Day, and Zach Johnson are all two over, and they're on the 18th, 16th, 16th, and 15th hole. We'll keep you up to date, of course, throughout today's big show. The cut is projected to be at 3 over. 3 over is what the cut looks to be currently right now as the British Open continues. Manuk Dentcher, Blue Bomber Game Day, Bombers and Lions tonight in Vancouver. We'll get into that and the Mo Leggett injury next on the big show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
TSN 1290 and Robertson College present the return of the 10K Summer Selfie as we have $10,000 in cash prizes to award select selfie takers across Manitoba. And you can be one of the recipients to enter, take a really good selfie at some point during the summer, and post it before Thursday, August 31st to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram using the hashtag 10K Summer Selfie. Show us an amazing photo or take a theme selfie in one of 5 bonus categories. Your picture there could be worth $1,000 or more. Grand prize, Selfie of the Summer, presented by Robertson College, is worth $5,000. The bonus $1,000 prizes include Best Animal Selfie, presented by Assiniboia Park Zoo, Best Food and Drink Selfie, presented by Booster Juice, Best Hair Selfie, presented by Aura Hair Group, Best Outdoor Selfie, presented by Lacoste Garden Center, and Best Smile Selfie, presented by Toddlers to Teens. For more information, visit tsn1290.ca. This is The Big Show. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki on a Manuk Dentcher Blue Bomber Game Day. And news came out after the closed practice yesterday as he practiced throughout the week. And, of course, because practice was closed on Wednesday, I believe. Or was it Thursday this week? One of the last practice, yeah. Mo Leggett is now injured after practicing all week. And it's going to be more than just day-to-day. It's week-to-week. Here is head coach Mike O'Shea from Vancouver yesterday on the loss and the injury to Mo Leggett.
Lower body. He's trying to work through it, and it's one of those day three decisions, which is tough for him too, because, you know, I know he was itching to play, but we got some guys that'll step up and fill that spot.
How he's going to deal with the injury to Mo Leggett, Mike O'Shea had this to say.
Well, I mean, it's very hard to replace a guy who played as well as Mo did last year, obviously. But as we keep on alluding to, if you look back at last year, we had a number of guys step up and play really well and help us win a lot of games. So I firmly believe that the depth we've established this year will allow us to play well. And guys, as I've said before, they're starters. And when they step in, they believe that they are going to get the job done. And they have the support of their teammates, too. I mean, these guys work very hard to understand what we want to do and get in there, and they don't want to miss a beat, and their teammates around them don't want them to miss a beat. So even the guys who don't end up making the trip work very hard with their teammates to make sure that they go in and play well too, because everybody really wants the same thing. They want to win. So you're going to help the guys around you as much as you can.
How big of a loss is no more Leggett?
Oh, it's considerable, and it's unfortunate. There's no doubt about it. You just kind of wonder now, with Sam Hurl in the middle and a couple of rooks on either side of him, for the most part, what? Just you wonder. I think that this is going to be troublesome for sure. You just can't. Maurice Leggett's the kind of guy you can't replace all that easily. I don't believe anyway. If it comes in and the fella coming in to cover for Mo Leggett can step up his game to the degree to be like even 80-90% of what Mo Leggett is, then that'll be spectacular. But I think that's a tall order to ask against a savvy veteran quarterback coming in looking to expose the weakness now in the linebacker core, or still looking at the left side with Walker and Carmichael with the receivers and the weapons that the BC Lions have. You got to think that Travis Lule is just salivating with another rookie coming into the lineup like that.
Yeah, you can't really sugarcoat this one. It's devastating. It's probably the worst possible loss you could have to the Bombers defense, and I just don't know if they're going to be able to make up for that loss. I mean, you have a guy in Chris Randall who kind of played that spot before, played a bit of linebacker, but then you put him up there and you have a massive hole in your secondary again. So you're I just don't think there's a good solution for the Bombers here. I think your best bet is to put this Porter kid in and maybe hope him or one of the rotation guys you throw in there can give you something, like Troy said, even resembling what Mo Leggett can give you. Because if you put Chris Randall up there, I mean, you're probably getting strong play at that point, but I think the hole in the secondary would be too big to overcome. So they need a monster night from either Porter or one of these other guys to kind of come out of nowhere and at least hold their own, because it's with Mo Leggett in, it was going to be a long night for the Bomber defense. And now I think it just puts more stress on the Bombers offense, to be honest with you, because 30 points is not going to be enough, I don't think, tonight.
And just real quick here, Porter, like you're not real big on that side for a coverage linebacker these days. It's not like the old days. Like even a guy like Maurice Leggett, he's only 5'11", 203. But looking at Porter, as far as size goes, it's weird to see a linebacker there, regardless of how much coverage that you're at. 5'10", 188 is the size of such an interesting situation or evolution in that position for the guys to be so small and so much utilized in coverage as opposed to being a bigger, stronger guy threatening the line and stuff like that.
The thing Porter has going for him is after going undrafted, he signed as a free agent with the Bears, and they released him. So he's obviously good.
He's got a new lease on life.
Because they got rid of him, which means he can probably play and help out. I'm kidding, of course. Two seasons at Jackson State, lining up at both corner and nickel. 38 tackles, one interception, broke up 12 passes. But this is a massive loss. And really what Mo Leggett brings off the field as well. Like, he is probably one of the main faces of the Bombers the past 2 years. Add in no Ian Wild. And this is going to be a tough, tough task for the Bombers defense. But we'll see what Robert Porter can do. As for Porter himself, here's what head coach Mike O'Shea had to say about him starting.
Well, he goes on the roster, and he'll see some field time for sure. The plan right now is to sort of establish a little bit of a rotation and see how that goes.
And that's even more scary, quite frankly, right? When you're saying we're going to have a rotation, which means we don't have absolute faith in anybody, and we're going to rotate them until someone catches traction and then probably go with them. And that's just, I mean, Coach O'Shea there is painting a picture as confident as he can, but it's not hard to read between the lines and just sort of wave a little flag of trouble when he's presenting that.
Well, put it this way. Let's say Paul Maurice comes in during a pregame presser and says, we're going to have a rotation in this hockey game tonight. Mason and Hellebuck, you know, we'll put Mason in for five, Hellebuck in for five, and we'll just see, we'll go from there and see who's really feeling it. Like, that just does not work. Right? Like, you do not, rotation outside of the defensive line does not work in football. So that's about as damning praise as a coach can give a player when he's listed as the starter and said, yeah, expect other people to come in and to come in pretty early.
This is the Big Show on TSN 1290 on a Manuk Dencher Blue Bomber game day. Blue Bomber game day starts at 7 o'clock. Darren Bomming, Troy Westwood, Chris Walby, 2 hours teeing up the game, which will be on TSN tonight at 9.
Here's an interesting stat from the CFL about the Bombers, guys. And we've all noticed early on the Bombers are struggling. You think of their last game. The punt return for a touchdown, that punt to start the first quarter. The Bombers have only scored 7 points all season in the first quarter. And to compound that, in the fourth quarter, they've scored a CFL worst 9 points in the fourth quarter, which altogether 74% of their scoring has come from the second and third quarters, where they're plus 20 and they're minus 8. In the first and fourth quarter. I don't know which is more alarming, the lack of production in the fourth quarter when you can go and, although I guess, you know, for the most part, haven't really noticed that level of struggle, but certainly out of the gate is a well-known struggle at this point in time for the Blue Bombers. And you don't want to, with the firepower in BC and all the rest of it on the road, you don't want to come out and give the other team a 7, 10, 14-point lead after the first quarter.
Well, especially when you go back to the games against BC last year, they were all three of them were shootouts, and the Bombers did find a way to dissect the BC Lions defense in every one of those games. So, I mean, you got to feel pretty good about the offense going into this one. I think if you're just kind of going off recent history, at least. But you're right. I mean, you can't give these guys 10 minutes, let alone 15 or 20 or maybe even 30. Like, Mil Siegel was on our show earlier in the week, and he said the biggest thing for the Bombers is consistency. That sort of same mind frame where it can't be 14-point second quarter, 14-point third quarter, and you're done for the night. Like, kind of make it, try and get, you know, four 10-point quarters here and or something even approaching that at least, because you might get away with it against Saskatchewan. In the first game of the season, BC will bury you. It'll be over by halftime, too.
Head coach Michael Shea was also asked about Sam Hurrell, and he expects Sam Hurrell to step up this game.
He understands the importance of that. He's worked well with his communication. I've said this a bunch of times about Sammy. You know, he's a true Mac type of leader where he understands that he has to communicate and talk to everybody on the field all the time. He's at that point where he does that quite well. I mean, straight down the middle, you always want your middle linebacker and your free safety to be the most vocal guys on the field, and we're at that point now.
We talked about this yesterday with Ed Tate and the piece he put on BlueBombers.com, and before we get into this game specifically, how surprised are you? That was the biggest concern, and a lot of things were said about Sam Hurrell, including on this show from the three of us, about expectations and not, you know, he lost a starter's job and, would, I thought, also lost a step. He's played extremely well this year, in my mind. How surprised are you by that?
Which player are you talking, sir?
Sam Hurrell?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I was just thinking about that. And I've got to say that it's not that I've noticed Sam Hurrell a whole bunch to say he's playing well. Right, and in the last time around when he was the starting linebacker, you would notice him in situations where he was getting destroyed or coming in too high at the line and getting trucked and run over and that sort of thing. It'll be interesting to see. For me, BC's got a pretty prominent run game. Will Sam Hurrell, along a course with two rookies on either side of him, how are the Bombers going to be able to manage what's a fairly nifty, in this age of CFL, a fairly nifty run game that they've got in BC? But I'm there with you, where when we were following training camp and as things unfolded, Sam Hurrell this, Sam Hurrell that at middle linebacker, as things were playing out, I think most Bomber fans were of concern with that. Certainly I was, and I think we were in this room, but he has been playing at a decent level here for sure and will continue to be tested with a big one, especially with what's on either side of him. Now, that just that much more stress, and where he's got to play that much larger of a role here, and as I said, against a team that likes to run the ball, there's a lot of balance with the BC Lions.
And a big test for him is going to be, I think, even more so in the passing game. And if I'm BC, I'm looking to get Chris Rainey out in the open one-on-one with either him or one of the linebackers and work that matchup all game long. And that's, I think, the only time we've seen Hurrell struggle this year. It was, you know, a couple passes against Calgary where I can't remember the backup running back's name, that little scat back, but he got him one-on-one in the open field in the pass coverage and kind of torched him. So I'm not really worried about the run game, to be honest, at all for the Bombers. They've been pretty stout so far, but it's going to be can those linebackers and maybe more so Sam Hurl, if they get into those one-on-ones, is he going to be able to at least contain some of the running backs for the Lions?
And I dare say it might be this week with the linebacking core that Sam Hurl is of your least concern in coverage from the linebackers.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to be testing Porter or whatever that rotation is working on strong side there. They're going to be working that to no end.
So what do we think tonight's game? Manuk Dencher, Blue Bomber Game Day, tonight, 9 o'clock.
The Bombers are 4.5-point dogs, I believe. I think I've picked the Bombers to win once so far this year. But to look at this game and to go into BC and come out with a win, that would be fantastic and monumental. How can you take a step back at this game and objectively break things down and think that the Bombers are going to come out on top, unless you got some sort of a gut feel? I don't have that gut feel. I'm certainly cheering for the Bombers and will be very surprised, wonderfully surprised and happy if they come out with a win. But I just, you know, hey, clean sheet. If the O-line can limit to maybe one or two sacks sort of thing, and what's most important, if the boys on offense don't turn the ball over again, that's an absolute key here. If they keep a clean sheet, then they got a real good chance. But I have to lean towards BC in a close game.
Yeah, I think the Bombers' offense will keep this one fairly close throughout. But to be honest, I'll be surprised if they can keep it within a score by the time the fourth quarter starts to wind down. And the Mo-legged loss is just too much for me. I think it would have been tough for them to have, you know, even a chance to win with the ball late in the fourth with the healthy Mo-legged without him. Hey, if they keep it within a score and they have the ball late, that's a huge win. So I expect BC to, not comfortably, but I think they'll win probably, I would say, a 10-point victory.
Yeah, I've taken the Bombers all three games this year. I thought they had a shot against Calgary being at home, and I thought the offense would improve this season from last. So I gave them a shot against Calgary. I had them beating Saskatchewan. I had them beating Toronto. I do not have them beating the BC Lions tonight. I think the injuries and being on the road and, you know, Travis Lule coming in, you know, I think he's not a big far drop off at all from Jonathan Jennings. It's going to be a tough, tough game, and I'm very interested, although even though I'm not taking the Bombers tonight, very interested to see how they compete and go about business against the BC Lions. We'll have Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Press live in Vancouver, who, thanks to the little hammer there, who got us the audio from head coach Michael Shea. He'll join us at 8 o'clock, and we'll continue to talk about this on the big show on the Boss Pizza Fan Line at 9 as well.
I think he'd prefer you just reference him as Hammer.
Well, but I'm Hammer, too, and I'm bigger than him. Like, I'm twice the size of him.
I don't think
lengthwise.
But, brother, nobody wants the nickname Little Hammer.
I know that. That's why it's great. I expect a text any minute now. How do you know? I know these things, Little Hammer.
That ain't right, man.
It'll be a different story if I actually call him that again on the air. Remember last time when I called him that on the air?
He didn't like it.
I couldn't even hear what he was saying. It was just a bunch of talk. Jeff Hamilton.
He might show up at the back door in a minute or two.
Jeff Hamilton, a hammer in this town.
There you go.
Will join us at 8 o'clock today on the big show. We'll get into some baseball and Andrew Wiggins. We'll see if we have time in the next segment for that as well. Coming up on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Robertson College and TSN 1290 present Manitobaville. We're awarding $25,000 to put towards a project that enhances one special Manitoba community. All entries are in. Our panel of judges are now in the process of narrowing down the selection to our top 10. You'll be able to watch the top 10 project community videos as of Monday, July 24th, which is this coming Monday at TSN1290.ca. We'll be able to vote for your favorite as well. Whomever gets the most votes as of Friday on August 4th at noon will receive the $25,000 grand prize. Manitobaville, making one hometown even prouder. Presented by Robertson College and proudly supported by Chicken Chef, Star Ready to Move Homes, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, and Merrick Contractors. For more info on all of it, once again, visit TSN1290.ca. The Big Show, Jim, Troy, and Brandon, 54 minutes past the opening hour. O.J. Simpson talk coming up in the next hour, as well as some NFL players. The Minnesota Vikings are going to join us live in studio. Before we get into the Blue Jays, who split their series with the Red Sox yesterday, the Los Angeles Dodgers had their 11-game winning streak snap 6-3 yesterday to Atlanta. The Los Angeles Dodgers have won 31 of their last 35 games to build the Major League's best record at 66-30. That is unbelievable in baseball, to only lose four games in 35, given the schedule, traveling, everything else.
I'm a quasi-Dodgers fan back from my pop in the Say days and all, like, way back. Isn't this a classic case? And we've seen, I think it was, I don't know, weeks ago, maybe to start the season off, I asked you guys, I think, you know, someone was talking about the Dodgers being one of the favorites for the World Series, and I was like, yeah, right, because the last 4 or 5 years, they seem to be poised to really make some noise in the playoffs, and then the playoffs come and they lay an egg. Isn't this scary? If you're a fan of the Dodgers, even if you respect what they've accomplished here over the last 35 games, isn't it setting up as the classic way too hot, way too early thing? Where at some point in time, they're going to start, you know, there'll be some little bit of a plateau and then in the toilet and tank, probably just in time for round one of the playoffs. To me, if I'm a fan of the Dodgers, this wicked hot run at this time of year is ominous as the Dickens.
You're not feeling good about the Los Angeles Capitals? and Alex Kershaw, really?
Oh,
you can see it coming.
Ovechkin has been very good in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's too bad, right? And I'm kind of, when it comes to baseball, I'm always a fan of the old school teams, right? Like the history and all that sort of things behind them. And the Dodgers don't have a tremendously long drought, but it's been, I think, since the '80s and Kirk Gibson and that, like, it's been a fair while since they've at least even gotten to the dance. So I hope, but I'm not really expecting good things come playoff time. Although, you know, if the Dodgers are in and the Washington Nationals are in, hey, if the two sides face off against each other in the NLCS,
would be a great series.
One of those two franchises that has struggled in the postseason for almost a decade will finally be able to get through to the World Series.
To put it into perspective as well, their rival, which I think is like the Yankees and Red Sox on the West Coast, the Dodgers and the San Francisco Giants, the Dodgers now have a 29.5 game lead on the Giants.
That's crazy, huh?
Which is usually like that division, at least the past couple of years, Arizona, Colorado has been in and around there, but it's usually come down to those two teams, and they are a half game away from having a 30-game lead on the San Francisco Giants. Toronto Blue Jays yesterday split the series with a win in Boston. They head to Cleveland tonight. We'll have that for you at 6 until 7. And then the Minuke Dencher Blue Bomber game day will take over. But we will have the Jays, of course, tomorrow night, Saturday night as well. And, of course, Sunday afternoon here on TSN 1290. They take on Cleveland 9 games back of Boston, 5.5 back of the wild card, quickly running out of time. I think I saw a stat yesterday where they have to have a winning percentage of 673 or 667 or in and around there down the stretch here to have a chance at making the playoffs. They have to win at a clip of over 600.
Yeah, and we've witnessed this before, for Pete's sake. It's like, you know, pick your favorite team. It doesn't need to be the Jets, but pick your favorite team that's still alive mathematically. Is the long, slow march descent towards mathematical death. I hate, one of my most hated journeys in life is latching onto a team that slowly saunters towards mathematical death.
We talk about O.J. Simpson next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Leave the back gate unlocked because TSN's coming over on select evenings throughout the summer. TSN 1290 will back up the truck with a portable party for up to 25 people, including catering by Qdoba Mexican Eats and a burrito bowl hot bar with tortillas. You can make tacos, an abundance of three cheese queso, beverages including a sampling of Tall Grass Vodka, Winnipeg's only grain-to-bottle vodka produced by Capital K Distillery, a family pack of fireworks to light up your night, courtesy of Archangel Fireworks, an iGrill 2 digital app-connected thermometer for each grand prize winner provided by Lux Barbecue Company, and a hot tub for you to soak in over the course of 1 week provided by our friends at Oasis Leisure Center. We'll also have TSN 1290 crew on site to help serve and set up. Parties happen Thursday evenings from now until August. August 10th is our next one. You can enter online at tsn1290.ca, and we could be seeing you very soon. And last night, we were at Dave Lambert's house and had a great time. Dave won the prize, and we went over there. I was there, Rick Ralph, and Brian Munns was just killing it at this party. You guys ever see Brian Munns at a party? I think he's still there.
You mean he was a big hit at it?
Oh, no.
No, yeah, okay.
No, he was a big hit. I mean, he was just, he was checking the water on the, it was 74 degrees in the hot tub.
I've heard stories.
Yeah, he was crazy. Wild man last night. But congratulations to Dave. Great host, great people there. Enjoyed talking Jets with everybody else. And everything that's going on in the sporting world. And his wife, Joanne, is 40. So Dave not only won this, but then he turned it into a 40th birthday prize for his wife, Joanne. And I think that is just brilliant.
Is it?
This is what I planned for you, honey. I got a bunch of people coming over. I rented a hot tub. I'm going to bring in a couple radio personalities.
I think his lovely wife is going to see through that a little bit. Yeah, it ain't going to work.
She wasn't. She said when she heard he won that she thought it was a great idea and very excited for
That's
it.
Good. So, that's good.
A lot of good people there last night. Thanks for entering, Dave. So glad you won. And Joanne, thanks for hosting us. A great time. And I hope you guys had a great time as well. Dave Lambert was our last winner. We'll do it again in August. So TSN 1290. .ca is how you get in on that. I just got a tweet from our Ken Brzozowski.
Ken
sorry.
Bro.
Yeah, out west on the West Coast. Longtime listener.
West Coast.
Weighs in, I believe so.
It's 5 in the morning out there.
And he, yeah, he's a loyal listener to the big shows, and just sent me a picture of OJ at his parole hearing yesterday with the caption, Brown signed 70-year-old O.J. Simpson moments after being released from jail. Of course, there's a lot of jokes going on around this, and I get that. I was watching some of the coverage yesterday, and to be honest with you, I got home early afternoon yesterday, and I turned on the Jays game, and then Twitter, of course, was all about the O.J. stuff, so I flipped over there, and I watched it. Like, I'm not going to deny that. It's news. It's interesting on how O.J. To me, the news... most people knew he was going to get paroled, is how he would react.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how or why or what goes on in OJ's head. I never will, and that's probably a good thing. But he sat at the hearing. There was people testified. They take a break. He comes back in, and clearly not knowing that the mic and the TV is live, starts talking about his time in jail with some people who, I guess, work there or whatever, about a guard who says he knows all this stuff about OJ, and he's like, I've never met the guy. He's never in my wing of the prison. I see him outside once in a while, but just... And then the minute the parole board comes back in, it's just back to somber, head down. And to me, I don't know. Thankfully, I've never been in that situation, and I promise and hope to whatever God you have, I never am. But to me, it just spoke to what OJ is and was, and it's just a persona. Like, he is a different guy than what we think we know of OJ Simpson. To be sitting there in that idea and that situation and to just sort of be telling stories, and people are going to be mad at me for this, but I understand regardless of what he's done or that, life goes on. So what I mean by that is a human being in his head moves on and goes forward. And has a life, whatever. So
when you attend the funeral of the woman you killed, you get an understanding of how effed up in the head he is.
Very good point. And I guess my point is, so to me, day to day, months go by, years go by in this prison, I understand that he has a life. I understand that, like, in his mind, he's probably got a couple pals in there and a daily routine on the things he does in prison and all this stuff. But to not get that when you're in that room, to just shut it off.
To keep it in character?
To just, you're trying to get your freedom.
I'm seeking parole character.
Keep it in character. I don't know why I was surprised, but then I wasn't surprised over how he was literally laughing with the people in this room, which some he knows and some he doesn't. And he's talking, that guard keeps coming over. And he's talking about a guard or somebody who works at the prison who leaks stories about him and says that OJ does this and OJ does that. And he's like making fun of the guy going, I've never seen that guy. That guy never comes into my wing of the prison. The only time I see him is when we're in the yard and me and a couple of guys go, hey, how you doing? He tells me these stories about his kid's baseball game. That's the only time I know him. He doesn't know anything about me, but he's telling me all these stories. It's crazy. The guy's crazy. And the minute the parole board comes back in, it's as if he's on death row. And I guess what I'm trying to say is it speaks a lot to it. I'm not surprised he got parole. And in fact, on the charges he's in there for, I get why he got parole.
Well, and especially when the victim is up there saying what a great friend he is and how everything's been put behind him and how he'd come by to pick him up upon the release, right, and all the rest of it. So what stood out the very most for me in what I heard was the simplicity and the duh-ness of O.J. Simpson saying, yeah, with what we tried to do there, spending 9 years in here, it just wasn't worth it. It just wasn't worth it, man. Like, no kidding, really? You need to say something like that or even thinking about that? But this whole thing, you know, it's just vile. I see a vile human being when he's there, when he's whenever the camera's on him. And all the remarkable documentaries that have come out, what's the most recent one? The story of O.J.
Made in America
is just so damning, right? And those shoes that during the trial that he had never seen before, blah, 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 that were at the scene of the crime. And then the guy who took the photo of it comes out months later with O.J. in those shoes at an event. That just the whole thing is so absolute lockdown, no question about it. Guilty, and then taken into consideration, and sadly, as America still is and everywhere in the world is right now, the unfortunate underlying racial ramifications of everything involved in that time frame as well that came into play. But there's no doubt that O.J. Simpson is just a low-down, dirty, violent, murdering dog. That's what he is. 70 years old, wasted pretty much. You know, as far as all the goodwill that he had built up with his sport prowess, that's just all in the garbage now. He's a murderous, woman-abusing, horrendous, horrific man. That's all there is to it. Now he can come out and enjoy his NFL pension where the civil money's owed no one can touch. And we'll see if there's a couple times in that parole hearing where he's started to, you saw some negative emotion, right? When he's talking about, hey, that was all my property. It was known to be mine. So And you saw him a couple times kind of get revved up there, and you just wonder, what took me the most was how arrogant he still is, right? Like, for Pete's sake, you're in the big house for 9 years, and you have kind of what you're talking about there, JT. You can't lock it down for a few hours or a couple hours here to just stay humble, at the very least, in front of the parole board. You still are aggressive. You're still kind of coming out and taking a stance. So O.J. Simpson is what he is, man. I'm just not interested, and I don't care if he's alive or in the ground.
Well, and this parole hearing was basically a layup for him. Like, just go up there and don't screw it up. And he tried to screw it up.
Yeah.
Like, he tried so hard to get in there and find a way back into prison. And these are some of the quotes that he actually said, that O.J. Simpson actually said, and I think the word we haven't touched on yet is delusion. He is the most delusional person I think I've ever heard speak on TV or anywhere.
Outside of Trump, maybe, yeah.
Fair enough. Uh-huh. But these are some of the quotes from yesterday. I was a good guy on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? I basically spent a conflict-free life.
Yes.
I'm not a guy who lived a criminal life. I'm a pretty straight shooter, and nobody has ever accused me of pulling a weapon on them, ever. Like, the guy, he's a sociopath, and even when he's talking about the robbery charges, it was never, I'm sorry for what I did, I'm sorry for the situation that I was, like, the dude just, there's no accountability whatsoever. The whole thing was a complete gone show. You have the idiot on the board wearing a Chiefs tie.
Yeah.
Like, it was,
that's America right
there. I wasn't really old enough to remember the trial or anything like that, but I'm assuming it was probably similar to that where it was just
a
circus.
Gong show.
Yeah, so it was the same thing 23 years later. So I want this whole thing to just be over with. I don't care about OJ at all. And yesterday it just highlighted the absolute insanity that can go on down south whenever a person of stature or even X fame kind of gets back into the public eye for a bit.
It is a shame he wasn't on stand during that trial because that would have destroyed him for sure.
That would have been very interesting back then.
It would have killed him.
Especially under cross-examination, if he could hold his ego in check. Because he can't now. Possible. That's what stood out to me. Yeah. Is as a 70-year-old man, think and act and be whoever you think you are in your own head. But to me, to sit there, it's hard for me to fathom how when he was joking, and I'm not appalled by it. I'm not like saying this is a monster and blah, blah, blah. I'm just... In your situation, how do you not get that for this part of this one day when I'm in that room, I'm just going to be quiet and I'm just going to say what I'm asked and I'm going to hope for the best.
And he's coming out to what's being projected at $600,000. They figure that's how much he's made through his NFL pension since he's been in the big house, and none of that can be touched by the families of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman, right, who he owes about $40 million to with interest. But all that pension money that comes to him, the $600 in the bank and the $25 per month, that's his to enjoy his life with.
So I guess that was my question with this. This is the Big Show on TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, because we talked about it yesterday, and we talked about how, like, I was just out of college, so how the media covered this and how I mentioned I was just laying on the couch and for 6 hours I watched this white Bronco and how it sort of changed things. And Troy, you were talking about your experience with it, and you were talking about how you didn't even know OJ other than the fact that this was going on and how that's what he's famous for. Did you watch? Like, did you take the time? Because a lot of people said what you said yesterday, Brandon, was, you know, I don't know why sports stations are covering this and I don't know, you know, I don't care and stuff. And I was the same way. I literally turned the Blue Jays game on yesterday when I got home, and then I thought, I just saw it on Twitter and I looked to it, and then I watched, I bet you, an hour of it after.
Yeah, I didn't watch much of it at all. It was on, I got to the gym, it was on, also like on, you could listen to it on the radio as well. I listened to a little bit of it, but he just makes me so sick that I can't watch him or really listen. I did follow and read about everything that was said, and so I saw just enough when he, a couple of his statements where I was just like, that's just enough, I can't watch this guy anymore.
Yeah, I was watching golf during commercials. I flipped over a couple of times, but I'm kind of the same thing. I watched, all I needed to see was a couple of minutes to see the arrogance and the defiance, and the dude hasn't changed at all. He's never going to change, and I don't want to hear about OJ ever again. We're going to hear about OJ at some point in the future. It's just inevitable.
I wonder if at 70 years old he can still be a dumb, angry, aggressive old man.
Well, didn't he even say when they, because you have to say like what you're going to do and how, and that's how we know that his pension is going to pay him $25,000 American a month from the NFL and what he's got saved up over the 9 years from that. But didn't you ask, he say, I'm going to, like, you have to say what you're going to do and how you're going to earn income. And he said, I'm going to do interviews or... Like, I thought he... Or
well, he jokingly referenced maybe doing a podcast, and I have seen it discussed where people are saying, in this day and age, in the wacky world we live in, don't be surprised whatsoever to see him on reality TV and things like that. But it's important to remember, anything that comes in outside of his pension is going to be available to, and I think it has to be paid to the civil lawsuit. So why he would do things to... I don't know. It'll be... interesting to see what he does, how much he goes out to be have any sort of a public persona in this day and age. But all the revenue from that, I think, would go to the civil lawsuit.
No, living in Florida, they can't, because he declared bankruptcy in Florida. That's why he's going back there, is once you declare bankruptcy, all your future earnings cannot be... Like, he literally, with that $33.5 million lawsuit, he owns the goal to the families.
Which is now $40 million, they say, with interest.
Yeah. He can't, like, if he lives in another state, you can go after some future earnings under this, I guess, lawsuit, civil trial that he lost. In the state of Florida, you can't. And that's one of the reasons why he declared bankruptcy as well. He's literally, if he lives in the state of Florida, protected from ever paying that back from any of the future earnings he makes.
We know dang well that if he goes and does podcasts or he does reality TV, like, that's going to be there for him.
Just go away, dude. Just go away and just live under a rock, and I hope we never hear from him again.
And that's what I don't get about the whole thing, is at 70, $25,000 American coming in, $400,000, $600,000 in the bank, just... Go to Florida.
Just hang with your kids and golf.
And just,
right?
Yeah. Like, yeah. And just let, you know, you should want to, I guess that's what I was talking about when he was on camera, just want to just fade away and go live the rest of your life that you've been granted. We'll take a break here. I already asked by Kevin on Twitter if this is the last time we'll talk about OJ. Likely, unless somebody wants to weigh in on the Boss Pizza fan line at 9. But yeah, we're done with this unless something else takes place. We'll talk some more hockey and some other stuff when we come back to the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Pick up your official TSN 1290 discount card today. Hit the greens and throughout the summer with great two-for-one deals at a multitude of Manitoba golf courses, including Granite Hills Golf Club, Selkirk Golf and Country Club, Larders at St. Andrews Golf and Country Club, and the Meadows Golf and Country Club, Minnewasta Golf and Country Club, and also the Winkler Centennial Golf Course, just to name a few. Book a tee time and show your card for great rates. Cards are only $34.95 each. Some restrictions apply. To purchase your card for a complete list of participating courses, visit tsn1290.ca. NHL news and notes still coming up later in the hour, and we're going to talk with Minnesota Vikings Anthony Harris about NFL 60 in our next segment. He's going to join us live in studio.
They got a couple of sweet Vikings rigs in the back, like big trucks, and right now, Ace and the morning crew is out there. Bo just ran out there from Bob. Like, they're out there having fun with Anthony Harris in the back of the rigs that he's got, taking pictures and stuff. Pretty cool. Like, they'll get noticed around town while they're here this weekend.
NFL 60 is a great program.
It really is. We'll, Play 60, yeah, for
Play
sure.
Play 60, sorry. NFL Play 60. We'll get into that in our next segment. Right now, gentlemen, we only got a couple minutes, but I wanted to touch on this. NHL and NBC put out the three coaches on the hot seat for this upcoming NHL season, and number one is Paul Maurice. Number two is Bednar in Colorado, and number three is Bill Peters in Carolina. Two questions. Surprised that – I know Maurice is on the hot seat, but surprised that he's the number one coach in the hot seat if you look around the NHL. And the other thing is, I'm surprised Bill Peters is on the hot seat in Carolina.
Yeah, I'm not – well, I guess you buy that in Carolina, but I buy that a little bit less, and I am surprised, and maybe it's just because I'm blissfully ignorant that he'd be number one. But you look around, and with the number of changes that have happened, I guess it in fact does make some sense here, huh? When you look at what's happened in the rest of the league and the expectations for the teams themselves, I suppose it makes sense, boys.
I guess it makes sense when you look at Peters has 30 wins, 35 wins, and 36 wins in his three seasons in Carolina. And with potentially a new owner coming in, I understand that.
Has had very little to work with
outside of this year,
when things look like they're maybe ready to make some noise, huh?
And the things that they've built, like the way they're going. But then when I explain it that way, like, I think they've been going through a process and going in the right direction. I'm surprised to hear that, but then doesn't that sound a lot like the Jets? Building, going in a direction, eventually you have to get there, I guess.
There's a lot of people, though, that think Paul Maurice is holding the Jets back from being, not an upper echelon team, but for sure being a playoff team. And there's, to me, Paul Maurice could have been 1, 2, and 3 in this poll. And it's by far the hottest seat in the NHL because 10, 15 games in, the seat might be too hot, and you might have to make a move. Like, that's the at least those other guys have a bit of wiggle room, you would think. But
and when you look at the talent that Bill Peters has got, and compare it to where the Jets are, that's the thing, right? That where you look at, okay, what team is? It's one thing losing, underperforming is another thing, and a lot of people, whether they were right or not, had the Jets grossly underperforming last year, even though they had all the youth and the sort of the built-in excuses.
Bednar in Colorado is probably welcoming it. Like, that's a guy that if he... No, seriously. If that
he might
guy
just
gets,
sacrifice himself.
If that guy gets fired, he might pull his goalie in second periods to start the season. Like, if that guy gets fired, it has zero to do with him. I guess maybe everything has something to do with your head coach, but the team they have there and the... Yeah. It's just...
Which is so different, right? Like, the situations for Bender and for Peters are so different from Paul Maurice, because there's no one looks at Colorado or Carolina and says they are grossly underperforming. It looks like something strange in Colorado to be that bad when you have some talent, but for sure the most underperforming team, I think at this point in time, would have to be the Jets, right?
We'll be back. We'll be back with Anthony Harris of the Minnesota Vikings live in studio on the Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is a proud supporter of the 5th Annual Stars for Special Golf Tournament on Tuesday, August 23rd at Glendale Golf and Country Club. That's our home course here on The Big Show. It's a Texas Scramble-style tournament with proceeds going to Special Olympics Manitoba. Lots of fun throughout. Each team is assigned a celebrity golfer to play with for 9 holes. Includes draws, silent auction, and more. For more details, visit specialolympics.mb.ca. It is Manuk Dentcher Blue Bomber game day here. The Bombers in Vancouver to take on the BC Lions tonight at 9 on TSN. Of course, we'll have Manuk Dentcher Blue Bomber game day teeing it up for you at 7 with Darren Bombing, Troy Westwood, and Chris Walby. More to come on the Bombers. Jeff Hamilton joining us live at 8, live from Vancouver. And, of course, NHL news and notes coming up around the corner. But right now, very pleased in the studio, along with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki on TSN 1290. To welcome in from the Minnesota Vikings, Anthony Harris. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me this morning.
Excellent. Welcome to Winnipeg. First time in Canada?
First time in Canada.
How is it?
It's great.
We got his mic on? There we go. Sorry. Now we're live. Sorry. Anthony Harris, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent. Here with the NFL 60 Play 60 program. And going to be touring around throughout the weekend, and as you're doing this morning, let's just start with that and why. Tell us what it is and why you feel it's a great cause to be involved with.
NFL Play 60. It's a health and wellness campaign pushed by the NFL, targeting at the youth fan base to try to get them to come out and play 60 minutes a day and increase a healthy, active lifestyle for them.
And you guys, it's at the University of Manitoba. And can you please just let everyone know if they would like to get their kids involved, how they can go about to come and register, and what time they should be there, and all those sorts of things for the event?
Yes, it's Sunday at 11 a.m. at the University of Manitoba, the Eastfield. And if they want to get more information on how to get registered or what will be going on, they can visit NFLPlay60Canada.com. But as far as things that we'll be doing Sunday, we'll be putting the kids through drills. We'll be teaching them football concepts, concepts about group sports, as well as pushing the idea of importance and for a healthy lifestyle and staying active for 60 minutes a day as well.
Now, cool, I would imagine throughout your life, very active as a kid. I'm way older than you, generations older probably, but I was always outside, and that's not the case anymore. This is an initiative the NFL has had for a while now to sort of, as you said, get kids active. What was your childhood like, and how important is it to being active was to you as a kid?
Yeah, just for me, I've seen the change over time. For me, being outside every day, having to be that kid that mom pulled you in and saying, it's time to go, it's time to eat, or, you know, come in and grab something to drink for a second. But the NFL is doing a good job of, you know, trying to push that type of culture back onto our youth. Now today's society, the technology and the different things that kids have in their hands from time to time, it's pulling them indoors more. So we're just trying to get them back outside and get them active for 60 minutes a day.
If you can, Anthony, please just speak up a little bit louder than normal, just so we can hear a little bit clearer. And, you know, Anthony, this is a fantastic program. As long as it's been out, I just love the initiative of this by the NFL. But I like when Jim said there, the kids, you know, they don't get out as much anymore. And I can't blame – I got a bunch of little monkeys and spent a bunch of time with their kids in the neighborhood and all that sort of thing. But to me, I put a bunch of responsibility on the parents. You know, get your ass off the couch. Stop watching Game of Thrones and all the rest of it. Get your kids involved in the community.
Wait a minute.
Drive
that
them
is
around.
A dynamic
you,
program.
You know, when
and
parents,
it's riveting.
We hear it all the time. Parents, I drive by the soccer fields. There's nobody out there. Or the basketball courts. Well, get your ass out there with your kids and teach them. You know, get them interested in all that stuff. I know it's on the kids to be active, but for Pete's sake, the driving engine of that should be the parents.
Yeah, you're right. You're right about it. You know, nowadays, parents just, you know, stick a phone, stick a tablet in their hands and, you know, let them go for a little bit or sit them in front of the TV. I think it's important on both ends, you know, the kids, getting them in that environment, showing them that, hey, this is what we're going to do, and as well as quality times with your kids. So that's an opportunity for them to, you know, quality time with your kids as well as them learn different ideas about sports and just being healthy and being active.
How much fun do you have with the kids yourself, being active your whole life and now sort of, you know, you're giving back, which is a great thing, and I'm sure you're enjoying that, but literally just getting out with the kids and seeing what they are at and their physicality right now as this generation comes in. How much fun are you having with this program?
It's fun. It's great, you know, seeing the level of progress, you know, just how smart they are, seeing the different personalities, and just seeing that big smile on their face, the opportunity for us to go out there, run around with them, throw the football, catch the football. It's an opportunity that I didn't have as a kid, and to be able to give that opportunity to a kid nowadays is a great.
If you want to get out to this, you can go to NFLPlay60Canada.com to register. They're taking registration right up until the event starts on Sunday, and a chance to get active and spend 60 minutes doing some stuff with some NFL players from the Minnesota Vikings, including Anthony Harris.
Anthony, now I got to ask you about your personal story a little bit, man, because I, you know, when cats get drafted and they're expected to make the team and all the rest of it, that's one sort of story to me. But you as an undrafted guy coming out of Virginia, you're coming into your third year. You played 16 games last year. You're a safety. Like there's, I think there's an inherent sort of chip on the shoulder, or you. I would just imagine, man, that your drive to make the team, to prove everybody wrong how they made a mistake in not drafting you or overlook or sort of having that underdog mentality in the locker room would make each moment that much more precious when you're with the Vikings and all that sort of stuff. Can you take us a little bit on that journey and maybe speak to the young athletes out there who feel like they're not maybe being recognized and just the level of determination and everything that you have inside your soul showing everybody, hey, man, I belong here. This is, you know, this is my spot on the team, and the sort of that battle inside of you to bring yourself to the level that you're at.
Yeah, it's a drive every day, every workout, every practice. Proving to the team, proving to the organization, proving to yourself that you belong. You know, there was an opportunity to, you know, get picked a little sooner. It didn't happen, but you got to move forward. You know, you got to put that behind you, use that as motivation each day, and just, you know, go out there, try to perform to a level where they can't miss you the second time around.
With this program, NFL Play 60, a lot of kids probably are going to set goals throughout it. You probably had a goal when you weren't drafted. Did that motivate you? Did that give you that extra push to keep working hard?
Yeah, that's always been a dream of mine. You know, to hear my name called would have been great, but I think my overall goal was to get opportunity to play in the NFL. So, you know, once I got that phone call, it was just about going to work, being focused, coming in, doing my best to not only get there, but to stay there.
I can't help but notice you had 7 solo tackles and 5 assists against the Chicago Bears last year, and I find that offensive as a Bears fan, but fair to say you made a good career so far out of playing the Bears?
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Anthony.
Most players do, I think, right, Anthony? Hey, I want to ask you, the Vikings, this is Vikings country up here in the NFL. There's a lot of people up here that, just from a territorial sense, is their favorite team in the NFL. You guys, maybe a bit of a disappointing season last year, just 8-8, but some fantastic upside possibly coming here. Talk about the defense. Man, you guys have a pretty mean, nasty, snarly D. What are your expectations this year?
Our expectations, you know, to be really good. We got a lot of pieces from the front end to the back end, defensive line, linebackers, and safeties, a lot of talent. But coming into this season, it's just about coming together, being a hungry defense, being focused, being consistent, and going out there and making plays.
How fun is that defense to play in the past 2 years?
It's exciting. Zimmer cuts loose with us, you know, lets us get after people. He's a great detail coach, so to have a guy like that coaching you up every day and then, you know, going in on Sundays and just going out there having fun, it's a great opportunity and it's a great feeling.
I'm going to ask you a sensitive question, okay? And if you can't answer it, I completely respect that. I don't know how sensitive it is within the locker room and that sort of thing. But do you care to voice an opinion on the Kaepernick situation?
I'm not sure. It's a lot of different circumstances that go into it. Some of which people may know, some of people which may not know. But it's just a unfortunate situations for him as well as, you know, the NFL organization and his fan base as well.
Can I maybe ask you, I spent some time in the locker room, and I understand some of the differences that can exist culturally and that sort of thing. How did you guys in your locker room talk about that as it unfolded and that sort of thing? Was it something that was often spoke of, just maybe not specifically what he was doing, but as the movement kind of grew and you saw other teams take part in it and different players at different times, just the whole understanding and the debates and conversations within the locker room, was it something that was fairly prevalent?
No, I think guys, you know, try to focus on, you know, while we're there. Yeah, we have a high position of influence. But at the end of the day, you know, we try to respect everybody's opinions and, you know, keep it above football.
Cool.
Anthony Harris, a safety with the Minnesota Vikings, joining us this morning on the Big Show, TSN 1290. He's in town this weekend for NFL Play 60, which is a great event to get kids out and get them active for 60 minutes a day. You can register for the event on Sunday at the U of M right up until it starts, NFLPlay60Canada.com. And just looking at your schedule here, of course, Drew Brees you're going to play against this year. Aaron Rodgers, of course, twice because it's in the division. Matt Ryan, Cam Newton. Who stands out to you as one? I mean, I know every week it's tough. It's the National Football League. But who stands out to you that always maybe is a little challenge that you're like, wow, I'm playing against this guy and I got to step it up here?
Yeah, when you mention those three guys, you know, they're high caliber players. Been around the league a long time, played a lot of football. But like you said, each week you step out there on the field on Sunday, and those guys are professionals. So each week we go in there, we take it just as serious as one of the other weeks. But obviously you got, you know, potential Hall of Fame guys like Aaron Rodgers, who's done a lot for his team, his organization. So each week we go out there, we're focused.
You love that challenge, I bet.
Yeah, it's
great. I mean,
great.
Every week's big, but when Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan comes to town, you must be sitting there, here we go, it's game time.
Yeah, it's not too far. Wisconsin's right there.
Now, back a little bit to the NFL Play 60 here as we wrap this up, Anthony. The active part of Play 60 is real important, and the fitness aspect of it, but maybe something that's also equally as important as far as being healthy for young people and families is nutritional, right? Making sure that you're taking care of your body inside, having all kinds of fun with fitness and all the rest of it, but also being very mindful of what you're putting into your body so that you can make the most of your time.
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. That's very important. Not only just going out there being active, but, you know, replenishing some of those nutrients lost, putting the right stuff in your body before so you have the energy to get through it. And that's one thing that we're trying to push, not only being active, but having a healthy lifestyle as far as what you put in your body.
Mm-hmm. 11 a.m. Sunday at the University of Manitoba is NFL Play 60 Canada, and you can register right up until 11 a.m. on Sunday, NFLPlay60Canada.com. Once again, maybe just let some of the people listening, the parents or the kids, know some of the activities you'll be doing throughout this.
We'll be putting the kids through drills, teaching them different concepts, different skill sets, not only that pertains to football, but group sports and planning, sharing an idea of leadership and good sportsmanship, as well as pushing the idea of the healthy and wellness for 60 minutes.
It's amazing what just 60 minutes of activity can do.
Yeah, it can do a lot for you. It can do a lot for you, especially if you do it every day.
Makes a difference for sure. And I'm on board. I'm going to go 61 minutes today, today, and then maybe next week 62. Anthony, it's a real pleasure meeting you. This is big Viking country. I was down there doing a story on a Canadian, Israel Adonijé, who was playing for the Bears a couple of years ago. And the PR guy from the Vikings told me there's about 400 season ticket holders from Winnipeg that drive down for all 8 home games of the Vikings and stuff. It's a big deal up here as well as the Blue Bombers. So thanks for coming in this weekend. It's a great program. We're really excited about it. And I hope you enjoy your first time in Canada.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
NFLPlay60Canada.com. Once again, you can register for Sunday's event Sunday at the U of M if you want to take your kids out. And if you just want to go out and see some of the Minnesota Vikings putting some kids through some drills and getting them active for a minimum of 60 minutes a day. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, man.
Great stuff. We'll take a break, and NHL news and notes are coming up next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
All our Winnipeg Blue Bombers on Winnipeg Blue Bombers home games throughout the season. Our friends at Not Auto Corp will be picking up some of our listeners in the Blue Bus. Prizes include 6 tickets to an upcoming Winnipeg Blue Bombers home game and transportation for you and 5 friends to and from Investors Group Field before and after the game. Our winner for this Thursday's game versus Montreal on July 27th is Junior Denbrock. Junior and 5 friends will be picked up at his house, dropped off at the Bomber game, and then brought back home again once the game is over. The Blue Bus, presented by Not Auto Corp. If you'd like to enter and win tickets and transportation to the next Winnipeg Blue Bomber home game, enter now at tsn1290.ca. The good people, Trevor Knott, and everyone at Not Auto Corp. That's a great prize.
Oh, it sure is. Lots of fun.
Bus, you've been on that bus, haven't you?
I've seen it. So it's real. There's a whole lot of luxury involved. Enjoy yourself.
Have fun. Who's on the bus? Stays on the bus. And what goes on is good times with the good people at Not Auto Corp. So congratulations to Junior Denbrock. And, of course, we'll be drawing a new name for every home game for the Bomber season this year.
Hey, that Anthony Harris fella, nice young man, huh?
Very nice.
Good
real
demeanor
nice
and well-spoken. I love the dudes that don't get drafted and you battling and you exceed. Like, I just love that storyline, man. Especially for football, you see it, I think, the most often sort of thing, right? Where you come in and you're not, like, you are kind of a camp body, but you're able to battle your way through that and make such an impression that they can't ignore you. That's just the best story.
And he's building, too, eh? Like, he had, I think it was, just looking it up again, he had, in 2015, 4 games
Four
played,
games, 16
game
last
starts,
year, yeah, all
and
of
then
them.
He works and gets into 16 yeah. games and 3 game starts. The next year, it'll be interesting to see what he does, especially on that defense. Mm-hmm. That is one of the highlights of the Vikings, is that defense the past couple of years. Once again, NFLPlay60Canada.com is where you can register right up until the event happens Sunday at the U of M at 11 a.m. And should be a good time with several of the Minnesota Vikings in town for that. NHL news and notes time, gentlemen. And we'll start with Steven Waino, who was on the afternoon ride yesterday with Rick Ralph and Hustler, or Hustler and Rick Ralph, and just explaining how the process of American Hockey League players taking part in the Olympics will go. We touched on it briefly yesterday, but obviously we all want National Hockey League players at this year's Olympics. But when you hear that it is American Hockey League players that can go, and specifically ones that are on American Hockey League contracts, what are your impressions of what this team could look like if the NHL doesn't figure this out with their own players?
Well, it doesn't get me much excited. Like, so it can't even be guys with two-way contracts, right? You need just...
As far as I understand,
yeah. So just like one-way AHL contracts, and you got some of the guys, so, you know, however you want to define that as a tier two, as far as NHL players go... And going across, like, it's just, it's it bothers me. It'll be fun to watch to see, though. Of course, the second you get any a group of guys or gals on wearing the maple leaf, they're capable of anything, especially on ice. And they're going to Slava Malamud, right? Russia is just salivating at their opportunities here. And boy, what a bunch of pressure on them as well, like, which doesn't typically mesh very well, I think, in past recent memory with Russian opportunity, a lot of pressure for the hockey to go capture gold, and you just kind of wonder, like, it's a nightmare waiting to happen, maybe, for Russia specifically, as likely the overwhelming favorite coming into this with all their players they're going to have available to them, and assuming that Ovechkin, like, how that whole thing unfolds is going to be very full of drama. But as far as the players that are strictly and specifically AHL players going, it doesn't tickle my fancy whatsoever, really.
Well, it's basically going to be Canada's Spengler Cup team, is it
yes,
not?
Yes, I think that's right. I think a lot of these players will be Canadians who are playing in Europe. But if you want to pick up the odd guy who, you know, maybe the 28, 30-year-old guy who's on an AHL one-way, then you can.
Yeah, so Spengler Cup team, I mean, Canada rarely wins those tournaments either, so you're going to expect them to go up against the Russians and find a way to slow them down. Yeah, I don't know. Every time we talk about hockey at the Olympics, I just get borderline depressed. Like, it's upsetting.
Yeah.
It just sucks that we're not going to get a chance to see Connor McDavid. That's probably the worst thing to me. You know, like, seeing some of the future and with how exciting Team North America was at the World Cup of Hockey and not seeing those guys kind of get their first chance. It just sucks, and it's just
crap.
A big downer every time we talk about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I like the fact that some players, like the Spengler Cup, are going to get a chance to represent Canada. But it's not ideal. And to your point, Brandon, it's sort of like the tease. Eh? You get a couple of years of it, and then now it's not going to happen. And then if in two Olympics from now it happens again because it's in a different part of the world, it's just...
And it robs a guy like Connor McDavid. And, you know, name your other young Canadian stars or superstars. It robs a guy like Patrick Laine. All right? It robs these guys of some portion of their legacy even. Right? The golden goal. It's like the stars in the NHL of pick your country that they're from are being robbed of the opportunity to further enhance their legacy, not only to us as fans of the game, but to their countries for what is the most highly regarded tournament outside of the pursuit of the Stanley Cup, and maybe even more so, whatever that debate's at. But it absolutely sucks. I don't know. Are there any fans of the NHL or hockey that aren't just flat out upset with the owners and Bettman and the horse crap stance that they took on not sort of making it happen, and yet they were willing to make it happen if there was small concessions by the players, all the Mickey Mouse crap with the CBA. Like, it stinks.
Other NHL news and notes. Has Thomas Tatar been the first player to actually go through the arbitration process? Of course, we all have an eye, as it is July 21st, on the August 1st date for Connor Hellebuyck to go through the arbitration process with the Winnipeg Jets and an arbitrator. But Thomas Tatar was the first restricted free agent to go through this. He went through it yesterday. He asked for $5.3 million on a one-year contract. The Red Wings were countering with an offer of $4.1 million. So $1.2 million is the difference they couldn't settle or come to an agreement on or go one way or the other. Tatar scored 25 goals and had 21 assists in 82 games last year, so 46 points in 82 games. That's a point every second game if my Alberta math treats me well. It's his third straight year of cracking the 20-goal mark, and the 26-year-old forward averaged the third most ice time with the Red Wings last year at 17 minutes and 17 seconds on average. What do you do with this? Where do you go? Who do you side with?
Are you kidding? Thomas Tatar is a gem. Like, he is my kind of player, up and down 100%. A guy, you know, anytime you get a guy averaging over half a point a game, there's a real something real special about that to me. And add on the fact, listen to these percentage possession numbers from him during the course of his career. 58.5, 60.8. Anytime you're sniffing 60, it's stupid. 56.2, 59.7, 57.7. Last year, an off year at 51.9. The guy is a possession machine that gets you over a half a point a game and puts up a bunch of minutes for you. I understand Detroit's up against the cap, and I don't know how much that is skewing what they're doing here, but I'll tell you one thing. If you're Thomas Tatar and a 26-year-old, one-year deal sort of thing, you think, what do you think you're doing at the end of this year?
So is he a $5 to $5.5 million per season?
Absolutely. To me, he sure is. You're in that range of a half a point a player, and that to me is a spec. Like, that's almost like a $5 million thing to me, where you're half a point guy, bam, that gets you at about $5 million, and then you look also at his 200-foot game, the possession numbers. Thomas Tatar is the kind of player that helps you win championships, and maybe obviously with Detroit, that where they're at as a team, he'll be wasted there this year. But next year, and if you're Thomas Tatar, you just want to salute them, you know, and be gone. Is hit free agency next year.
Is he Matthew Perreault?
I would say a higher end Matthew Perreault because of the goals. See, you know, 29, 21, 25 goals and, over the past 3 years.
And 82 games over the last 3 years.
This is kind of, I think, one of those 1 year deals that helps both sides where he'll sign for a year and $5 million.
Yep.
Red Wings can flip him at the deadline at his prime and get a good haul, and Tatar gets another chance somewhere else.
To pick him up on a playoff run.
I'm very interested to see what an arbitrator comes out with from that. We'll take a break. Jeff Hamilton live from Vancouver on the Bombers next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show podcast on TSN 1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
T TSN 1290 and the Walt Morris Group of Companies, including Winnipeg Dodge, present the first ever TSN 1290 Golf for Kids Classic Tuesday, August 15th at Southwood Golf and Country Club. This is a Texas Scramble Best Ball Tournament with proceeds to benefit the Children's Hospital Foundation of Manitoba and Kids Sport Manitoba. Registration is $150 per person or $500 per foursome. Includes 18 holes of golf, cart rental, pre- and post-game buffet-style food and drink, freebies, plus chances to win some very cool prizes. There will also be fun planned for select holes throughout the course, hosted by our good friends at The Pint Winnipeg, as well as Royal Sports, Santa Lucia Pizza, J&M Window and Door Company, Darcy Bain Physiotherapy, Windeck Limited, Ashley Furniture, Mr. Lube, FXR Adrenaline Unlimited, the Viscount Gort Hotel, United Firefighters of Winnipeg, Local 867, Star Building Supplies, Avalon Foundation Repair. Space is limited and available on a first-come, first-served basis. There are a few spots left, so register now at tsn1290.ca. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rowicki with you on The Big Show, TSN 1290. It is a Minook Denture Blue Bomber game day. And that gets started with our Minook Denture Blue Bomber game day coverage at 7 o'clock, two-hour pregame show with Darren Bombing, Troy Westwood, and Chris Walby. And, of course, the game is on TSN at 9 o'clock is the kickoff, and then full postgame coverage, full live phones. How late do you guys go till?
About 1 or so in the morning, I think, 1:30 maybe, until Walby gets real grumpy. If the Bombers win, then it's a safer environment in here, right? But when they lose and he's upset, Darren Bombing gets a little bit nervous, and I got to kind of play police a little bit with those two guys. They get at it a little bit. It was funny, early on, Bombing wouldn't say a peep to Walby, and got, I think, actually legitimately scared if he said something and Walby took offense to it and gets aggressive, right? Walby will, like... He forgets all this can be heard on the mics, and he pounds the desk, and he sits right beside Bombing, right? So they, like, this, but now Bombing taunts him. Like, he actually pokes and prods the big fella, and one of these days, something's going to go down.
I'm going to be at Super Spike, so I'm going to PVR the game, but I'm still going to come home around 1 and call in.
Oh, I'm sure that you'll be. You're getting a ride home, first of all.
Hey!
JT!
Hey!
And the sauce calling at 1:30. Please do.
Yes, Mr. Walby. I have a question.
Why don't you show up? Just come in the studio. Okay? We'll send a limo to come get you. It'll be worth...
Tim Joth from St. Vitale. I have a question, Mr. Walby. It looked to me like the O-line was soft tonight. should be good, though. Minook Denture Blue Bomber game day starts at 7. Full post-game coverage as well. Joining us to tee it up live from Vancouver, so up early, is our good friend for the Winnipeg Free Press, Jeff Hamilton. How are you, sir?
Yeah, not too bad. I was going to say, can you guys keep it down? Vancouver isn't awake yet. So, you know, when I agreed to do this interview, I forgot to do basic math and realized I had to be getting up pretty early.
We appreciate your kindness, man.
We do,
yes. Early win already.
So when Brandon put you on the air, seagulls flew away from everywhere in Vancouver.
Yes, you're sitting on the beach right now, your toes in the sand. We know what you're doing, man.
Yeah, wearing my clothes from yesterday, you know how it is.
Do not wear a tracksuit to the game today in Vancouver. That's all I'm saying, Jeff. Let's start with the injury to Mo Leggett. We delved into that, and there's some injuries where you can sort of debate the impact, and Ian Wild's one of those guys, I think, that has a higher impact than some other players. And I think Mo Leggett, on the field and off the field, this is a huge loss in my mind. How do you see this Mo Leggett injury for the Bombers, especially tonight against the Lions?
Yeah, I see it, you know, pretty much exactly that, a big one. You know, it's the guy who plays, is not only a leader on the field, a leader on that defense, but he's kind of the go-to guy for all the new players on that defense if they have questions, particularly in the secondary. And it's just maximized by the fact that they don't have Ian Wild. They got a rookie side on the field there with Brandon Alexander and Rock Carmichael. I mean, it's just compounding, right? I mean, Tristan Akpolago, you know, he's a guy that isn't going to play again this week, and Jackson Jeffcoat is not exactly a significant drop down in my opinion, but just when you compound all those injuries and just how important that strong side linebacker position is, I mean, you're the one who's got to get in the box and read the runs, and you're the one who has to drop back in coverage. You're one of the most aggressive, you know, pieces of the secondary end of the linebacker backing crew, so it's a big one, and you know, Robert Porter, I don't know. You tell me, guys. I haven't seen much about him. He's 24 years old. Apparently, he already has a chip on his shoulder, which is, I guess, a positive thing, but certainly has a chip on the shoulder or not. He's got big shoes to fill.
Well, the Bears cut him, so he's obviously a very good player.
Yeah, clearly. You know, he could have played for all other NFL teams. Bears just can mix him in there, but yeah, we'll see if he can play in the CFL.
Hammer, I don't know what's going on with Bomber kickers going back to Kennard and Cameron and all the streaking that they were a part of. And then there were some alleged instances in the 90s and 2000s there with yours truly. And now we see Justin Medlock is doing some streaking of his own here, 28 deep.
Yeah, it's impressive. I mean, this is a guy who's been automatic since he's been in Winnipeg. I mean, obviously people remember the 61-yard kick and the debacle of, you know, he used the tee and he hadn't practiced with the tee. I think he could have made it if he just kicked it right off the ground.
I agree.
And this guy makes 61-yarders in practice routine, and he's not really a guy that really has – he's just got nerves of steel. He just doesn't seem to – he's like goaltenders in hockey. I mean, kickers are a bit of a different breed, right, Troy? So, I mean, it's just everyone – it's just such a mental game, right? It's such a mental part of, the biggest, you know, mental game in of all positions is that kicker. And he's just, you know, he just seems to have just like I said, nerves of steel and doesn't get bothered by anything. And everything's just routine. I mean, the other part of that is he hasn't missed a one-point convert, which is, you know, maybe a little bit of a less stressful situation for kickers considering you're just kind of capping on to a touchdown. But, you know, he's still hitting from 32 yards on all those. So it's a guy who the Bombers pay big money to, but he's also a guy that, you know, when you get into that range, when you can get down to an opponent's 40-yard line, you can leave the drive with points. And I know the Bombers will obviously want to take touchdowns over field goals, but when you have a guy who's automatic from such a far range, it does take a little bit of pressure off you as an offense.
Has that come up at all this week, Jeff? Because I was a little surprised that, you know, head coach Mike O'Shea acknowledged the fact of that playoff game last year in BC, and it's on some of his players' mind. Usually the mind frame of, no, it's a new season, new team, blah, 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 blah. Has the kick itself come up? Because that was hotly debated, the decision to go for it and whether Medlock could actually make it or not.
Yeah, you know what, it hasn't, and that's only because, you know, we beat it, you know, like we beat it to death kind of after it happened and then into training camp. And, you know, I mean, you're just not going to get a different answer from Mike O'Shea. Like, you know, he says he would do it all over again. I mean, that's just, in my opinion, straight up ridiculous. But, you know, that's stubbornness, I don't know, but, you know, he's not going to change his mind. So asking him about it again is, you know, you're just going to get your typical roll of the eyes, and, you know, he's going to give you that same answer he gave you, you know, months ago, last season, and then the ones he gave us heading into this year. So it has been asked. This week, though, it's been more of, you know, the lasting image of last season for me is a locker room of 40-something guys and the guys that weren't playing and, you know, everyone part of the organization just kind of sitting there with their heads between their knees, kind of in shock. So, you know, as much as the 61-yard field goal attempt was kind of, you know, I guess the final stamp on the season, you know, it was really everything that happened before that was kind of the most stunning part. So that's kind of been the focal point. Just, you know, some guys are more, I don't want to say more honest than others, just, you know, some guys are a little bit more forward with how those feelings kind of translate into this week. And, you know what, at the end of the day, it kind of reminds me of the Winnipeg Jets. Like, you know, successful teams don't just dwell on, you know, a first-round series. You know, it was as good as it was for this team to get into the playoffs, it was still a, first round, if you will, exit loss. So it's, you know, you're dwelling on it, but at the end of the day, your expectations are just far more, you know, or far more than just kind of getting in. You know, it's actually getting in there and succeeding. So as disappointing as that game was, and as much as guys will, you know, kind of share those feelings that they had last season, I think there really is a focus of this is a new season, and, you know, we just got to be better than that.
I said this as the game was unfolding immediately. When it was second and four there, that was where the mistake was made in trying to throw the ball. To me, you got Andrew Harris behind you who always falls forward. If you got a chance to pick up a first down, very likely you pick up a couple of yards. And when you're talking about being on the outer edge of your kicker's range, trotting out there for a 59-yarder or a 61-yarder is a very different type situation. He doesn't take his tee out there, I don't think, for a 59-yarder. And I just don't understand why you don't run the ball. That was the play to make, I think, in that situation. But moving on, and speaking about the run game here, specifically tonight, Jeff, the BC Lions are a team where we might see some old-school smash-mouth football. The BC Lions like to run, and the Bombers are running a little bit. Could we see a bit of ground game tonight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, this is our two teams that focus on the run. I mean, obviously Andrew Harris kind of had his coming out party last week against the Argos, and Jeremiah Johnson's third in the league in rushing and is averaging the most, or second in the league in rushing and averaging the most per carry. So, you know, obviously two teams that's had success on the ground of late. And I think you need to, if you're the BC Lions, I think you're trying to do small kind of plays. If it's not running, then it's kind of, you know, maybe dishing the ball off and testing that linebacker group. It's probably going to be a little bit out of sync, just based on, you know, obviously the loss of Mo Leggett. And then, for the Bombers, if you're going to open up the top, you gotta get that ground game going. And as much as we saw it last week, I don't think you did see the long game go. So, you know, at this point, I think it's trying to improve on those numbers. I mean, 81 yards, I think your colleague Darren Bombing kind of said 81 yards is kind of the new 100 yards in the CFL, just given how much throwing there is. And it's true. That's a gritty game. That's a grinding game. And Andrew Harris just has had a ton of success, obviously, in his career. But even with the Bombers last year, just seems to find a way to carve up his former team in the Lions. So I think you want to give him the ball as much as possible, whether that's running or dishing him short passes and letting him kind of, you know, drive the offense as he can on some nights. So certainly going to be an aspect. It's going to be one of those where you can actually predict probably a little bit more of a ground game than against some of the other teams that the Bombers have played. I mean, particularly Saskatchewan and Toronto, two teams that just kind of hardly run the ball at all.
Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press joining us live from Vancouver on a Minuuk Denture Blue Bomber game day here on TSN 1290, 17 minutes past the hour. Right before we let you go, what's the word around BC concerning Travis Lule, and what are your thoughts on tonight's game?
He's all the buzz, you know. I mean, I think he just kind of, just with what he was able to do, the 436 passing yards and just, you know, obviously that record, CFL record for quarterback coming off the bench, but I think he's spent all week answering questions. He kind of joked about it yesterday, saying, you know, we haven't really focused on Winnipeg. Clearly they have. You know what? If anyone's ever met Travis Lule, he's just, you know what? He's just such a grounded guy. I mean, all the comments you hear about him being a great teammate, it extends over into, you know, his contact with the media. He's just so down to earth. He, you know, shares all his feelings. I mean, I asked him yesterday, he got absolutely crushed on his first play of the game. It was a 1 yard run, but just, you know, just hammered by Shorthill on Hamilton. And, you know, he was just said that's the hit he needed. You know, he just needed to wake up, get hit again. And this, you know what, he's a surprisingly mobile guy for 33 years old. I mean, he's shedding D linemen. He's getting out of the pocket and throwing on the run. So he's certainly going to be a challenge. And we all know his history. But as far as tonight goes, I think the Bombers are in tough, but it seems like the more adversity they have, the better performance they put forward. So I think, you know, I think the BC Lions have the edge. They're at home. They're coming off three victories on the road. I think they're, you know, got a lot of confidence, a ton of weapons, you know, on offense. I mean, Nick Moore is coming off a crazy game, and he might not even be in the starting lineup in a few weeks when Chris Williams comes back. So they got their hands full, the Bombers, but this is one of those, you know, tests, if you will. If they pass, I think you start shifting the narrative towards the Bombers and what they could do in this league. And to me, that's an opportunity for the Bombers.
Great stuff, Jeff. We appreciate it, and for getting up as well. Enjoy the game tonight.
Always a pleasure, guys. I get up even earlier. Just don't ask, okay?
Thanks so much, Hammer. Take care, man.
Take care.
Jeff Hamilton of the Winnipeg Free Press.
A very interesting thing you said there at the end, which is similar to what we said about the game against Calgary, where, hey, you win this and it sort of changes the landscape or narrative going forward. I think a very similar situation here going into BC. And just want to remind everyone that the Bombers announced that all the proceeds from the online 50-50 sales this week will be donated to the BC Wildlife Relief. You can get your 50-50 tickets now for Bomber games, home and away, So all the Even Bomber away games, you can partake in the 50-50 draw. And for more details, I'll tweet it out as well, but go to www.fundingchange.ca/bombers and go find it. I'll tweet out the link directly on Twitter right away as well.
Yeah, I'll give more details on it as well in our next segment, and we'll give a British Open update for the wildfires in BC. It's a great event, or not a great event, it's a great thing the Bombers are doing to help out with all the wildfires that are going on once again throughout the province of British Columbia. More on that and a British Open update next on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Our province is packed with shining stars in the world of sports. Every week, TSN 1290 would like to showcase and reward these individuals who are making a big impact and difference in what they do. Nominate a Manitoban athlete, coach, or volunteer who's dedicated to making their sport matter. On The Big Show, we'll showcase a Subway Sports Star of the Week and reward him or her with a $50 Subway gift card. Simply visit tsn1290.ca to nominate your sports star. And we could be featuring them very soon. The Big Show with Jim Tolt, Troy Wester, Brandon Ruwicki. Boston Pizza fan line wide open at 9 o'clock today. Who do you have in tonight's Bombers-Lions game? Are you concerned about the Mo Leggett injury, of course, and lots of other stuff to get to? We talked about CFL officiating yesterday and had a couple tweets from people who said we ran out of time on the show at 10, of course, when we go off the air with the Boston Pizza fan line, so feel free to weigh in on that as well. A couple guys tweeted me yesterday saying they wanted to call in and do that. We'll talk about that and anything else you want to get to. As Troy was mentioning, you can join Chris Walby, Troy Westwood, and Darren Bombing for Manuk Denture Blue Bomber Game Day tonight at 7 o'clock. And now you can get in on the winning and support your blue and gold as well. Blue Bomber away game 50-50 tickets are on sale right now. Go to www.bluebomber.com/50-50. That's www.bluebombers.com/50-50. 5050-5050, and the lottery license is number 1482RF, and the Bombers are going to donate tonight's proceeds from the 50-50, so you'll get your half of the 50-50 and the half that the Bombers make to the BC wildfires. I worked in BC and literally covered wildfires. It was a kilometer away from the town of Cranbrook, and that was the year that the New Jersey Devils won the Stanley Cup. Scott Niedermeyer took the Stanley Cup out to a fire base for all the firefighters who have come in from literally across the world to help find these. If you've never been through it, be thankful. It is extremely scary to be that close to a fire of that magnitude and not knowing where it's going to go and be on evacuation alert. And being a sports guy, was called in to help cover these. And it's to watch what these firemen and women go through to help fight these, it's excruciatingly long, 12, 14-hour days in extreme heat. And then to just watch people and talk to people who are literally on their way out from their home, not knowing if it's going to be there when they come back. So I think it's a great thing the Bombers are doing. It'll go to the BC wildfires tonight on the 50-50. And once again, you can go to www.bluebombers.com/50-50. And you'll get your proceeds, and the Bombers are donating their half to the BC wildfires.
Yeah, mad respect for everyone. Everyone in the fire halls are the firefighters. The guys and gals in police uniforms, emergency response paramedics, everyone, thank you so very much.
Matt Kuchar finished his round with a 71 today, a 65 yesterday. He's one over at Cooch. 4 under. So yet to tee off are Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth. They continue to lead at 5 under, but Brandon is going a little crazy right now with Rory McIlroy. He's 2 under on the day through 17, 1 under on the tournament, and the wind is howling.
30 miles an hour or so, and it's beautiful. Like, this is what makes watching the British Open fun. Yesterday, yes, when it's sunny, the wind is gentle, and that's not really British Open, right? This is what, when you turn on the TV to watch the British Open, you want to see cats with grimaces and the wind flapping their cheeks and all that sort of thing, kind of like Bob Cameron walking out for a punt into the old Winnipeg Stadium with the wind just howling. This is awesome, man. It's just beautiful to watch.
And to the point of the wind, Dustin Johnson on a 160-yard par 3, 5-iron. It's a 5-club wind right now. Enjoy that.
Or normally that's like a 9 or a pitching wedge.
60-degree.
Crazy.
Sergio bounced back today. He's done. He shot 1-under 69. He still sits at 2 over. We'll keep you up to date throughout the show. The 6-pack is next on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Rewicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
I love seeing the wind like this, man. Like, it reminds me of the old Winnipeg Stadium, waking up game day morning, and the wind was 40, 50 kilometers an hour. I love those games, man. It was so much fun knowing that your opponent, specifically for me, the other kicker, is crapping his pants, and even the other team hates it, right? But you go out there, and you, if you're a mutter and a golfer, like, this is awesome. Like, people can hardly stand.
And then you turn this up. And you go, game day!
It's just beautiful there, man. That's a heck of a scream, dude.
TSN 1290 is proud to support the fifth and final HSC Foundation Celebrity Human Race. You can get your place in the human race. You might get a seat, but you'll only need the edge. It's that time.
Seriously, if you can scream like that, you got to be able to sing with some of that hair metal stuff, man.
It's your chance to race around Winnipeg competing in challenges and puzzles for your team celebrity. September 22nd and 23rd, the money race allows the HSC Foundation to improve care for Manitoba families with research initiatives, cutting-edge medical equipment, state-of-the-art facilities. To learn more or to register, go to tsn1290.ca. 18 and life, man. 18 and life.
Oh, dear.
I'll be honest with you. I got our ass kicked in the six-pack last week. I was awful. I was so confident, and that's what arrogance brings to you. I'm not an arrogant man at all. Somebody told me I was arrogant once, and I said, about what? Being 40 pounds overweight? Having a 94 Ford Explorer? What do I got to be arrogant about? So I know my role. I know my place. And it is to try and start winning you some cash on the six-pack. Just because you got a baby blue Ford Explorer that's rusting out doesn't mean you got anything to be arrogant about. I've been humbled by this six-pack. So let's... Oh! Why is Hatch just came off on the tee box?
What's going on?
On the British Open. His hair is askew. Oh, he did the right thing there. He picked up the hat and turned into the wind to get the flow back. You know when the flow's...
He's going, put it on backwards.
Looks stylish.
This guy is an all-star.
This guy is a baller.
No, he's taking the hat off. When your hat can't stay on, you know you're in some sweet stuff.
Anyways, that's at the British Open.
Is that a bad open for the six-pack?
Woo! I got my hat on backwards today. Let's do it. Drum roll, please. Play that funky music. Jam time! Jimmer Jammer on the six-pack. TSN 1290 on the Big Show. It's Friday. Super Spike weekend. You want to hear some good bands? Husser and I will be emceeing the stage. And by that, I mean Husser will be holding court, and I'll be telling people not to drink and drive, which you should never do anyway. Be safe. Let's go, boys. Six-pack time. CFL across this great nation of ours. And it is tonight, week 5. The Saskatchewan Roughriders are going into Calgary. As Troy will tell you, not that he would know for a Saskatchewan game, but it's often a road game. Or a home game for Saskatchewan in Calgary. There's a lot of Saskatchewanites that made their way west and took over Cowtown. And not just during Stampede. By the way, I heard Stampede was off the chain this year.
They just want to leave Saskatchewan, right?
Shane Knighty and I wanted to go to a little Stampede action this year. But
you and the sheriff going to hang out together.
He loves the Stampede. I love the Stampede.
Oh, boy.
And I was watching the Chucks at night. Half mile of hell! That's what they call the Chucks, baby. And we're in hell right now, boys. Now, I can't do it for you. That inch. But I can do it for me. So I'm taking the Calgary Stampeders at home against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. And if you burn me tonight, Stamps, paying $130, Hustler's picking up the phone right now going, $130? Why don't you just look for change on the street? I don't care. We're going to win this ticket this week. That's what we're going to do. Mark it on your calendar. July the 1st, the six-pack was correct. At least Toth was. Calgary's paying 130. What's to say? Saskatchewan's awful. Calgary's great. Calgary's coming off a loss. They're at home. They're at McMahon Stadium, which is also Foothills, which is also where the Calgary Cannons used to play, which is also where I dragged my large carcass over a soccer pitch in college against a guy named Mitch Peacock, who was also in college in Calgary. And lo and behold, 20 years later, we meet each other in Winnipeg, and he said, I played against you.
No way.
In ACAC soccer action.
You and played against Peacock,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, I didn't even know that. I go, you don't stand out to me. He goes, that's because I was playing. How dare you, Mitch? I played my senior year. Whatever. It's ridiculous now. Take the inch. It's paying 130 against 530 of the Riders. I'm not even touching the tie. The Stampeders are going to win tonight's game. Brandon!
All right. Bombers fans, plug your ears. You're not going to like this pick. And I went with my heart against Calgary, and the Bombers got stamped by the Stamps. And I believe it was George W. Bush who had the famous quote, you fool me once, shame on you. You fool me, I can't get fooled again, is what I'm saying. And so I'm not getting fooled again by the Bombers. Too many injuries, a tough matchup on the road. You got Mo Leggett out now, along with Ian Wild and Tristan Opelago. I don't know, it's a lot of holes to fill for the Bombers on a defense that was kind of thin to begin with, and the Lions got some injuries of their own, but I don't know if they're going to miss a beat offensively, because you had Lule throw for 400-plus off the bench against Hamilton last week. Now, the Bombers are no Hamilton.
Lule.
But 350 might be more than enough to get it done here, and I'm just not feeling it. I think the Bombers and Matt Nichols will put up a good fight on offense. I think they'll keep it close in the fourth. But ultimately, got to go with the brain here, boys. And this, maybe it's Frugal Friday instead of Fun Friday, because we're not really bumping the needle when it comes to an ultimate payday, but we'll play it safe so far. We'll see what happens in round two. But right now, I'll take the BC Lions at home to grab the W over the Bombers, paying 1.70.
As a carny tells you when you're getting on the zipper, safety first! We're being safe this week on The Big Show. What do you got, West?
Well, I'll get on the safe wagon a little bit here. I'm going to look at the CFL initially as well, and I'm going to go to Monday, where the Red Blacks taking on the Argos. Now, this is some crazy, crazy scheduling for the Ottawa Red Blacks. They have played July 8th, July 14th, July 19th, and now again on the 24th this upcoming Monday. That is four games in 17 days. I have never heard of a condensed schedule of that nature in the world of football.
Awful
there is
schedule.
A point in time where you just can't survive that anymore. I know the Red Blacks have been looking pretty good. I know they just got their first or a win here, but I just don't see them coming together on the fourth game in 17 days going into Toronto to secure a win. I really want to lean towards a tie here to spice things up from the money standpoint for our ticket at a juicy 320. But I can't believe Ottawa late in the game. Ricky Race healthy. Our Toronto defense is still looking pretty good at home in front of 10 fans or so. I got to think Toronto walks away with this one. Ottawa's going to be, even if they're not missing from injury, the level of banged up and all the rest of it for fourth game in 17 days, that is unreasonable. You got to like what the Argos in this situation. You got to like what they bring to the table. Go with the Argos, take the 2.0 and run.
That ups it a bit. Safe. I really like Ottawa, but I don't like their defense. That's interesting. And the scheduling is awful. Wake up, CFL. What's going on? Whew. Well, you want safe. There's another 125 game out there with the Dodgers hosting the Atlanta Braves. Paying 125, who had their 11-game win streak stopped yesterday. And, of course, they've won 31 of 35 games. Alex Wood, the former Brave, is on the mound. And he's 11-0 and has a 1.56 ERA. His ERA in his last six starts is 0.87. The only thing lower was in Animal House when John Belushi's character got read his GPA of 0.0. And the dean told him, big, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life. Something I held dear to my heart. So I try not to be stupid anymore. What does this mean for the Dodgers and Braves? Nothing, because I'm not even touching that game. I'm not going to do 125 for you. I'm going to my money. The Houston Astros, baby. They're going on the road, and they're playing in Baltimore. And Mike Fiers, who had 11 Ks, is on fire on the mound. He's 6-4 and has a 3.75 ERA, but he had a smoking good time last outing with 11 strikeouts. Jimenez, accent aigu on the E. Jimenez is on the mound. That sounded like Reservoir Dogs. Andy Chow. Give me that book. Anyway, he's 4-5 and a 7.01 ERA. What makes it worse for the Orioles and their awful season so far is that they don't have a closer. Zach Britton's been injured. He's back. He gave up 2 runs last night. Brad Branch is hanging around, but Brad Branch is good as an 8th-inning guy. When he comes in to close, he can't do it. So the Astros are coming in heavy. They don't have Carlos Correa, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Movie quotes today here on the Big Show 6-Pack. That's from Scarface. Come on, man. Come on, man. Go with Fiers and the Astros. Starting a road trip in Baltimore tonight. What does that pay, you ask me? What does that pay, Jim? Pays 150. 150 is more than 130, and it's safe. And as I said, a carny will tell you, getting on the zipper, keep your hands inside. Safety first. 150. Take the Stros over the Baltimore Orioles.
All right. Let's go to the West Coast. Seattle versus Troy's boy toy.
Whoa.
Oh. Aaron Judge of the New York Yankees. All rise.
Here comes the judge.
Court is in session.
Here comes the judge.
Hold on. The verdict is in. Aaron Judge has been disbarred because ever since the home run derby, the judge, I don't know if he tripped on his robe and maybe sprained
forever,
his ankle.
Man.
But
I'm out of line. You're out of line. This whole 6-pack is out of line.
Let me hit you with some knowledge. Aaron Judge going into the All-Star break, 329 average. Aaron Judge since the All-Star break and the home run derby, batting 312 now, 246 in the month of July. What's happening, baby? Awful. We're losing the judge. And I don't think that's going to – yeah, that's not turning around in Seattle. They're on the West Coast, and you know who's on the mound tonight? CC Sabathia for the New York Yankees.
CC.
Do you know what today is for CC? Birthday number 37.
37.
And if I know anything about old people, which I'm surrounded by two right now, so you guys have more experience
How
in this realm.
Dare you!
But old people don't like the birthdays no more. And not only that, but at the age of 37, out on the West Coast, this game starts at 10:30 Eastern Time. CC's internal clock is all out of whack. He's going to be in bed by the second inning. There's no way he lasts more than 60 pitches. CC's going to be done early. Take the Seattle Mariners, who are right in the thick of the wild card chase, too. A win gets them back at 500, and they're right there with the Yankees. So Aaron Judge, unfortunately, not getting his game back on track, and CC has an early nap time. Mariners, this is one of our juicier ones too. Paid 1.80.
I like it, Your Honor. I implore you. Go ahead, Westy.
I'm going to make my next pick and dedicate it to the one, the only Pablo Edmundo, who was in a foursome yesterday of questionable nature.
Pablo!
Not that kind of foursome, Wicks. Settle down over there. He was golfing with the likes of a Thompson, a Zelke, and a Yaley, and I didn't get any call from anyone needing any help coming out of jail, so I'll assume that they had an okay night last night.
Pablo!
But I got to go look at the Chicago Cubs that we all know is Pablo's team. And the surge that Cubs fans have waited for has finally arrived. They're looking for the 7th consecutive victory when they open a 3-game series up against the Redbird Cardinals. Chicago was 2 games under 500 and 5.5 back not so long ago, but they've won 6 straight. They're looking for 7, like I said. And the strong second half here, you got Carlos Martinez on the hill for the Redbirds. Jake Arrieta up for
Jake
the Cubs. Arrieta started the second half with a strong showing against Baltimore last Saturday. And is looking to continue that going on right now here. All time at Wrigley Field, Arrieta 28-13 with a nifty 2.37 ERA, including a 3-1 run this year. It's looking pretty good. We will see here another thing with the Cardinals. Matt Carpenter, typically a decent provider for the Cards. He's 1-29 with 9 strikeouts against Arrieta, his former teammate at TCU. Look for Arrieta to continue the dominance. The Cubs beat the Redbirds here, and it's a nifty little 145 in your pocket on a ticket.
Safety first. That is a 12:15 game, so make sure you get your ticket soon on the safety picks on the Big Show. Oh, man. This is just going to get you probably the last call and nothing past that tonight on Friday, but it could be worse. You could be looking for someone to pick up your last call. $5 on this will pay you. Well, let's get to it first. The Stamps at home paying $130. To quote Hustler, you might as well go out and look for spare change on the street. Go through the console on your crappy Explorer. Find more money there at $130. I don't care. Stampeders paying $130. And the Houston Astros amongst fires on the mound, paying $150. Brandon.
The Bombers learned their lesson in BC. Justin Medlock attempts a 78-yard field goal and is 43 yards short.
I say he's 15 feet too long.
The BC Lions, I'll take them at home. Bombers do hurt, 1.70. And the New York Yankees, Aaron Judge, verdict, pain. The Mariners, 1.80, beat the Yankees tonight.
Here come the Judge.
You can't play 4 games of football in 17 days. It just can't be done and continue playing at a decent or a high level. The Red Blacks are going to be bruised and beat up, no question about it. You got to love how that sets up for the Argos. Take them at home this weekend at 2.0. Sorry, on Monday, you get 2.0 for that pick. And then, of course, for Pablo Edmundo, who's probably off to go fishing right about now, we got to take the Cubbies with Arrieta on the mound, and you get 145 against the Cardinals. Take the Cubs.
Pablo, how many you had? Who counts? Great pick. $5 on these 6 picks will get you $86.50.
That ain't bad at all.
$86.50 on $5.
$6 gets it to $103 if you just need triple digits, which we do. To make up for it.
$1 more gets you $103.80. You know what, fellas?
This is our best work.
You know what I like about safety? This is good work by us. I'm going to go $10. That'll pay you an even sawed off $173.
That's not $173.
Bad. Keep the change for the people looking for picks on the street. $173 at $10. I'm going tenner on this week's games. That's your 6-pack on TSN 1290. Stream us on the iHeartRadio app and all your favorite devices, or get a customized playlist to suit your mood or activity. Your music, your station's always free. Download the iHeartRadio app today and stream on. This segment is brought to you by Johnson Waste Management. Jim, Troy, and Brandon, and we're teeing up the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290 on a fun Friday. And, of course, text us at 1290-90. Standard message rates applying. Lots to talk about today. We'll get into the British Open. Who do you like there? And Blue Bomber game date. Manuk Blue Bomber game day. Manuk Denture Blue Bomber game day starts at 7 o'clock tonight. And, of course, the game itself, Bombers Lions on TSN. Who do you like?
Well, hey, I love the Bombers. Love them. They're in tough tonight. And the whole Travis Lule part is really of interest to me because the Bomber players have no clue the depth of quarterback and the precision and sort of tricky quarterback play that he brings to the table. I know he's 32 years old right now. I think he's 32. He might be 33, but he hasn't played in 3 years. So as far as, you know, and prior to getting hurt, back when he was playing at a high level, he was very shifty. He was very mobile. And I guarantee you, because of the last 3 years, more or less just going in on third down plays, he's going to bring that to the table and surprise a lot of people that think, he's older, he doesn't have that anymore. I guarantee you that's a part of his arsenal. And you get a guy who is there with the elite quarterbacks when he was at his best not very long ago, Travis Lule was, and then suffering some horrendous shoulder injuries, and took a long time to come back from them. And it's been said that this is the first year, maybe late last year, that he really truly had his arm strength back. So, you know, Mike O'Shea knows, Richie Hall knows what this guy's capable of. The Bomber defense thinks they're getting a backup quarterback. It's just not the case here. So it's going to be real tough. And again, you see a situation here similar to the Calgary game. And you get another measuring stick game against one of the perceived heavyweights of the West. Can ultimately Matt Nichols and the Bomber offense keep up with what Travis Lule and the Lion offense can do against the defense of Winnipeg? Like, it's likely to be a track meet. Can Matt Nichols keep the sheet clean, no turnovers, and keep the pace? I don't think that they can.
This segment was a presentation of Johnson Waste Management, a Winnipeg-run family business doing their best to be the very best. We'll take your calls on the Bomber game. Who do you think will win? The impact of the Mo Leggett injury. Your thoughts on OJ getting paroled, the British Open, and everything else that's going on in the sports weekend. CFL officiating, a lot of people still wanted to comment on that. So by all means, you can do so at 780-1290 and text us at 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. And gentlemen, we go into this break with some very sad news today for Winnipeggers and literally music lovers across the country. Kenny Shields, the lead singer of Streetheart, has passed away this morning at St. B. He had been ill for a while. And it's a big loss for, of course, rock and roll here in the city and across the country and across the world. Unfortunate news, Kenny Shields has passed away this morning at St. B.
Just saw them recently, and the man never lost his pipes, and truly one of the most underrated bands ever that we've ever been around. He was a fantastic singer, and they had a great band.
Condolences to all the fans and, of course, Winnipeggers and his family and friends as well. We'll take a break on a somber note, come back and take your calls on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290 is proud to present MTS Super Spike tonight and tomorrow, July 21st and 22nd at Maple Grove Rugby Park. Headliners on the concert stage this year include the Sam Roberts Band, the Lytics, the Treble, and more. Weekend passes for all the shows are on sale now at superspike.ca, or keep listening to The Big Show this week for your chance to win tickets. All proceeds from this year's event go to Volleyball Manitoba, Kidsport Manitoba, and the True North Youth Foundation. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki with you on The Big Show, TSN 1290, with the Boss Pizza fan line, 780-1290, or text us at 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. And before we get to the phone lines, once again, if you're just joining us, sad news today for Winnipeggers and the world of music, as Kenny Shields has passed away early this morning at St. B. He had been sick for a while. He was a big sports fan here in Winnipeg, and listened to our station here at TSN 1290 almost daily, even when he wasn't in the city. So our condolences to Kenny Shields and his family and his friends, and of course all his fans out there as well. And you had an interesting story during the break about Kenny Shields.
Yeah, there's one year when we were playing in BC. I come down for breakfast on game day to eat in the hotel restaurant, and who's down there but Kenny Shields. And I see him, I go over and say a couple of things. He invites me to sit with him, and that was during the time that I was doing a bunch of my recording as well. So to be able to, he was a huge fan, like you're saying, of sport and football, hockey, everything right across the board. And to be able to sit there for well over an hour and just sit there and talk and pick his brain, asking questions, and then also be engaged in a great Bomber conversation, hockey conversation. He was he was a real interesting cat for sure. And I don't know, like, I've always wondered since a kid, I've never understood how Street Heart never broke out huge. Like, there's no way in the world. Their songs, man, are just ridiculous. The quality of their music. My favorite song of theirs being Action. They got all kind. I think they've got the best cover song ever in the history of cover songs. Find me one that's better than Under My Thumb. You got, like, Here Comes the Night, Tin Soldier, all kinds of wicked songs. They should have been way larger than they ever were. Saw them in concert last year, and still, the man still had his pipes. And just that was the thing everyone always talked about with Kenny Shields, is that anyone that went and saw him in concert, it just come out of it going, how in the world does the man still sing like that? And blessed with one of the best voices in the history of music, quite frankly. He was just absolutely a brilliant talent.
Yeah, and I met Kenny Shields in a weird way. I was doing a sports show at the casino years ago, and he came up and asked me a question about, I think, the Bombers or something. And as he left, somebody said, that's Kenny Shields, a Street Heart. And mm-hmm. I was like, Kenny? And he turned around and goes, but nice to meet you, by the way, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, Kenny Shields, really? But yeah. He actually had a question for me about the Bombers, and I think they were doing a show or a benefit at the casino that night. So unfortunate news, sad news, Kenny Shields has passed away, lead singer of Street Heart, originally from Regina, Saskatchewan, and a proud Winnipegger as the band came out of here. And if you want to weigh in on that, by all means, if you have some memories, he was a big sports fan and a big fan of TSN 1290, listened a lot. So our condolences again to his fans, his family, and all his friends here on The Big Show. TSN 1290, 780-1290, or pound 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. The Bombers play tonight. Who do you like? CFL officiating the British Open. OJ, anything and everything today on the program. Let's go to the Boss Pizza fan line now. Who's first?
We'll get Ralph to hang on, but let's go to Scotty here.
Scotty, you're kicking us off today on The Big Show. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. It is your pleasure to talk to me this morning.
It is our pleasure. Thank you for calling in.
A real quick thing, Bombers tonight. I got to go against the brew. I'm pulling blue all the way, man.
Okay.
We hope you're right.
Yeah, I've got a story for you boys. Late 80s, I was working for a day company.
You're cutting in and out a lot, man.
Yeah, Scotty, you're just cutting in and out, so we'll give you another try, and hopefully you can get to a spot where we can hear you more clearly or the service is good. Try again.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Oh, no, it's not better. We lost you. Oh, are you back? Scotty?
He just lost in a vortex. It sounded like Cosmic Bob kind of ate him up there or something. I don't know what happened.
That is interesting. Scotty, please call back in. We'd love to hear the quick story.
Unless you've been abducted by aliens, and if so, have a great journey, dude.
Leave a note. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Scotty will try and get you back on if you can get to a safer spot with your cell phone. Ralph, you're on the program. Go ahead.
Good morning.
Hey, Ralph, how are you?
I'm okay. I just wanted to comment on the game last night in Hamilton, and if Nickel watched that game and he copied O'Reilly comeback, he'll win tonight in Vancouver. Also, I'd like to mention, you're mentioning Shields. I'd like to mention today there's a funeral. He played junior hockey in Winnipeg when the Blackhawks, the Monarchs, in the 50s. His name is Gus Bohanek. He played defense, and he's been buried today. He was one of the big stars in Winnipeg, which you guys probably don't know about, eh?
No, I don't know about him. Sympathies to his family.
He played with Brandon Wheat Kings, Winnipeg Blackhawks, and Monarchs, eh?
Cool.
Ab McDonald played in that era, too. Hmm.
Sympathies to the family, Ralph.
Yeah.
To his family, yeah. Thanks, man.
We appreciate the call, Ralph. If you have anybody else wants to weigh in, 780-1290, and, of course, text 1290-90 with standard message rates applying. I thought, and we should touch on this, because we were discussing the officials yesterday on the CFL and how it could fix and how they could help them, but I thought yesterday's game was well officiated.
It was, yeah. It was refreshing, wasn't it, where it didn't really come into play. The one thing with the controversy and the officiating involved was the shove in the back by an Edmonton player. I don't recall the name off the top of my head, but of course the ref throws the flag, and there's got to be an upcoming suspension for one game. I would hope, now that you're talking with a couple of instances over the last couple of weeks here with players being with aggressive acts towards the officials, I don't know if Randy Ambrosi was planning to wait until the off season to formalize some sort of a structure in dealing with players and punitive measures from the league, something sort of an official statement on it and stance. But with this second event now in just a couple of weeks, I hope Randy Ambrosie puts that, like, unfolds it or gives it to the public right away here so that they can have a specific structure. You get aggressive with a referee in the CFL, you touch a ref in an aggressive manner, the baseline suspension starts at this point, and then we move forward from here. But just ridiculous what players are doing right now to the officials.
It's absolutely awful. And as much as I'll criticize officials, they should feel safe on the field. Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks in a row now, it's something I'm very interested to see what has to be done. There's no way an official of any sport, of any league, should feel concerned about being touched by one of the players he's officiating in a game. Your thoughts on that and everything else? 780-1290, Boss Pizza Fan Line. Thanks for the call, Ralph. Who's next?
We'll get Russ to hang on, but we got Scotty back.
Russ, hang on. Scotty, go ahead. Glad to have you back.
Hey, boys, thanks for getting me back in. Yeah, my Kenny story. I was late 80s. I was working for a DJ company, and I was hosting a karaoke contest rolling through all the Winnipeg bars, and I was given the Norvilla, the Oak, and Night Moves, three fantastic karaoke hotspots, I'll tell you. So I'm doing Night Moves, and, of course, the crowd is being a little hesitant to come on up and sing on stage, and Street Heart happened to be playing that week. So Kenny come out between his sets, and he sang a song just to try to get everyone going. And it turned out we had about 17 Street Heart songs in our library. So
no
next set, Kenny and the boys all walk up on stage. They don't grab their instruments, and they do their entire set off of my karaoke stuff. It was a gas.
That's awesome, man.
No kidding, yeah. Eh?
That was great. Kenny was super awesome throughout the whole thing. Awesome dude. A big loss for Winnipeg.
And, yeah. You know, I'll never, ever claim to know him personally. I didn't. But from what I've heard and from what I understand, he would do that because he just loved music. Like, not just the music he would make, but music in general. And it didn't have any problem, you know, doing other people's music or singing it or just being involved. Just loved music. So, great stuff, Scotty. Glad you called back in and glad we got that story on. Once again, Kenny Shields, the lead singer of Street Heart, has passed away early this morning at St. B. We're taking your memories on that, and we're talking about the Bombers and the Lions. Who do you have in the game? And CFL officiating, also the British Open. And OJ, if you want to comment on any of that, by all means do so. Russ, you're on the big show. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. First off, condolences to Kenny Shields and his family. Probably one of the best debut albums ever. Meanwhile, back in Paris when it came out, definitely a band that should have gotten more acceptance around the world. But anyways, to the boys in blue, I think this is going to be a big test for them, and Lule will be a big challenge for our defense. But I just want to go back to a caller yesterday who was commenting about the cost of salaries in professional sports, and I think that's where there's a huge opportunity for the CFL. I've been a fan watching CFL football for 50 years. And a Bomber season ticket holder for 34. And I got to be honest, guys, it's for the sporting value, bang for your dollar. Without a doubt, I think the CFL is the number one sport, you know, in North America. And I think they have to capitalize on that. And hopefully Randy Ambrosie is the new commissioner and can, you know, market what we offer as a sport. It's very entertaining. And it's a sport that you can take the whole family to and watch and not go broke doing it. So anyways, that's my only comments, guys. Have a great day and go blue. Thanks.
Thanks, Russ. We appreciate the call. The salaries is interesting because I'm of the belief, I said this about a month ago here about NHL salaries, like no player is making what they're worth. It's just full of people who are being overpaid or underpaid, like guys who are exceeding what they were expecting, because you get a contract for 5, 6, 7 years. You're not going to perform up to your potential every single, like even Sidney Crosby has down years.
But I just, to me, that perspective or the way you present your thought is kind of weird to me to say that no player is making what he's worth. Like, it's just it's kind of a...
Well, who's bang on? Who's getting paid what their value is?
I don't know. I don't know how you can figure that out, but fair market value is what it is. So, like, to me, I go more from that angle instead of trying to decipher what exactly a player is worth. The open market determines what a player is worth, and then
yeah,
go from there.
Yeah. Good stuff, Russ. We appreciate it. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, 780-1290, and of course, text at 1290-90. Standard message rates applying there. We're talking about the Bombers. Who do you have tonight? Do you think they have a chance? Mo Leggett's out. Ian Wild's out. And of course, they're facing the BC Lions in BC. Manuk Dencher Blue Bomber game day is at 7 o'clock tonight with 2 hours pregame, then the game at 9 on TSN. We'll get your thoughts on the British Open, OJ, and officiating as well, and anything else you wish to discuss here on the Big Show, 780-1290, and of course, memories from Streetheart lead singer Kenny Shields, who passed away early this morning at the St. Boniface Hospital here in Winnipeg. More Big Show next on TSN 1290.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
TSN 1290, proud to be a media sponsor of the 2017 Canada Summer Games, July 28th. Not far off to August 13th, bringing 20,000 visitors to the city for the 50th anniversary of the Canada Summer Games and 16 sports and over 250 events. Today is the final day for Help Paint the Town Red, Yellow, and Orange. You can do it after today, but you'll want to do it today and do so by wearing your official 2017 Canada Summer Games clothing. Take a picture of yourself and share the photo using the handle at 2017 Canada Games and hashtag gear up for a chance to win a Via Rail promotional travel credit. Visit canadagames.ca/2017 for more information on Games Gear Friday. And of course, opening and closing ceremonies tickets are available through ticketmaster.ca. And 11 days and over 150 artists and fireworks every night will be a major part of the Manitoba Liquor and Lotteries Canada Games Festival, which will be down at the Forks July 29th to August 12th. You can visit canadagames.ca/2017 for the full festival lineup as well. Jim Tolth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you on the Big Show and the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Who do you have in tonight's Bombers-Lions game? Do the Bombers have a chance now without Mo Leggett and some other injuries in BC against the Travis Lule-led Lions? We want your predictions for the game and who you think will win tonight's game. Also, CFL officiating, if you want to weigh in on that and how maybe you fix it, get it better. I thought last night's game was very well officiated, the British Open, the Jays. And, of course, Kenny Shields, lead singer of Streetheart, passed away this morning at St. B. We're taking your memories on him as well, a proud Winnipegger. And, of course, a big sports fan. Listened to TSN 1290 and took in sports a lot. That was my first encounter with Kenny. Came over to me while I was on location doing a show and asked me a Bomber question or something. As he turned around, somebody said, "That's Kenny Shields." And I said, "Kenny?" And he turned back around. He said, "Yeah, Kenny Shields of Streetheart." And I'm a big Bomber fan and want to know what's going on and stuff. So it was my first meeting of him. We're sharing memories on that. 780-1290. The British Open, gentlemen. Jordan Spieth just teed off. He's on hole two. He already gained a stroke. He's in the lead at 6-under on the second hole of his day. He's 1-under, shot a 65 yesterday. Brooks Koepka tees off later. He's at 5-under. Matt Kuchar shot 1-over-71 today to sit in third spot at -4. Ian Poulter, Thomas Peters, and Richard Bland, who is yet to tee off, are at 3-under.
Gotta love Austin Conley just sitting there in the weeds. Like, you got a real young fella here, first time at the Open, tied for 12th right now, likely to move up even, right? Because the conditions are just so horrid right now that quite possibly his position will improve as the day progresses here. So he's tucked away in the clubhouse and really representing super well. He is, and with Mr. McIlroy sitting right there with him, tied at 12th.
Could be a potential pairing tomorrow morning. That, like, cool. How about that for the kid? First time out in Europe, first time at the Open, and you're a couple shots off the pace in round three, playing next to Rory McIlroy. So, those two, that's kind of the spot you want to be in right now is the clubhouse. Get out of the wind, get out of the weather, and that's, I think you'll take that. For both of those guys, you know, different ends of the spectrum, but both McIlroy and Conley, I think, will take being 3-4 shots off the pace right now.
Unless you're Jordan Spieth, who looks into the eye of the storm and goes 1-under over two holes.
And remember that Conley and Spieth are real good buddies, right? Yeah. So that's the cool storyline as well.
Practice round, and Conley said that Spieth was very good to him, gave him a lot of pointers, talked about his game. This is a statement from Kenny Shields' bandmate, Jeff Neal, who just posted this on his Facebook. It came into our news department here at Bell Media.
And this is from Jeff Neal, a bandmate of Kenny Shields. It is with deep sadness and regret that I announce that our dear friend and bandmate Kenny Shields has passed away quietly and peacefully early this morning at the St. Boniface General Hospital in Winnipeg. By his side were his wife, Elena, his daughter, Julia, and his sister, Charlene. Our thanks to the caring and compassionate staff at the St. B for all the dignity and comfort that they provided for Kenny and his family throughout this difficult time. We are most grateful to each and every one of you for all the love, support, and hope you have extended towards Kenny and his family over these last few years. I know personally how much that meant to Kenny, and I know your kindness contributed to his inner peace in the end. I will keep you all updated as we move forward. Live your life, love your life, and enjoy every moment of your life with the ones you love. RIP, my brother. You will be missed. You will never be forgotten. That's from Jeff Neal, his bandmate, Kenny Shields. We'll take your memories on Kenny and, of course, the band and what they meant to you and Winnipeg. And we'll also take your picks for tonight's Bomber game. It's kind of tough, you know, to talk sports, but Kenny was a big sports fan. And for those of you who knew Kenny personally, we send out our condolences to his family, friends, and fans. It's a sad day here in Winnipeg. But it's also a Blue Bomber game day, so we're talking that as well in the sports show and taking your memories as well. And we had a couple callers who always weighed in with who they have in tonight's game and then shared a Street Heart memory or an album or whatever. So that's what we'll do today on the Boss Pizza Fan Line.
Yeah, Kenny if he was here with us, he'd be pretty excited about the possibility tonight for the Bombers. So you got a tough game here. Travis Lule is going to be raring to go. Like, this guy has been on the sideline for 3 years, biding his time, watching this young kid and Jonathan Jennings make his way through the ranks and really make quite an impact splash on the league. And you can bet your boots that, like, how important, even in devising the game plan with Kahari Jones out there, that Travis Lule would have been a very active part of devising and designing the offense, always being in the ear of Jones and Jennings, even Wally Buono. Like, what he brings to the table behind center here, you get all kinds of veteran savvy that's going to be looking to pick apart sort of the revamped and beaten up linebacking core of the Bombers. Also looking at that left side here of the Bombers with Carmichael and Walker. So it's Alexander Carmichael. It's going to be a heck of a test here for the Bomber defense to step up and slow down Travis Lule in that wicked receiving core.
And we also want to congratulate Travis Fredborg, who with an eagle putt won the trophy at this year's Not Autocorp Men's Amateur Championship. So congratulations to Travis, and what a great way to win it with an eagle putt. Wow. We'll take a break and take your calls on the Boss Pizza Fan Line when we come back. 780-1290 on The Big Show, TSN 1290.
This is The Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch The Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.
Back on The Big Show, TSN 1290 and TSN1290.ca. Congratulations once again to Dave Lambert, who won our backyard party that we put on from TSN 1290, the tailgate. He and his wife Joanne hosted it yesterday for a bunch of friends and had a great time. TSN1290.ca is how you can get in on the next one on August 20th. Also, join Chris Walby, Troy Westwood, and Darren Bombing for Manuk Dencher Blue Bomber game day tonight. And you can get in on the winning and support your blue and gold Blue Bomber away game. 50-50 tickets are on sale right now. Go to www.bluebombers.com/50-50. That's www.bluebombers.com/5050. Lottery license number 1482RF. You can get in on the 50-50 for the road game. And the Bombers also announcing that they'll donate their portion of tonight's 50-50 draw to the BC wildfires and what's going on in British Columbia. So great job by the Bombers. Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Who do you have in tonight's Bombers-Lions game? And CFL officiating and anything else, OJ, whatever you want to get into, or a memory of Kenny Shields, who passed away this morning at St. B. Condolences to his family, friends, and fans, of course. Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, Brandon Ruwicki with you. And again, the Boss Pizza Fan Line, 780-1290. Getting back into this game, gentlemen, it was interesting. Mike O'Shea this week spoke about, you know, it's on their minds, the players, what happened in the playoff game last year and the fact they lost in BC. New focus and all that, but it is hanging around there a little bit. And then the Justin Medlock kick and attempt. I still, to this day, have no doubt in my mind that he could have made that.
Well, he had doubt.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel the same way as you. And I know for sure what it feels like to be on the outer range. And I think in warm-ups, his outer range was 57, if I remember correctly. And so when you're talking about stretching your outer range 4 yards, which might as well be a mile when you're at your outer range, that's why I put that much more emphasis on second and four to run the ball. Because trotting out on the field, thinking that you need an act of God to get it through the uprights, if you pound it perfectly and all the rest of it, him grabbing his tee is a clear indication. Typically, you know you get more distance if you hit a ball ideally on a tee. But to never practice with the tee makes it real difficult in your approach to have your plant foot at the right spot to hit the sweet spot on the ball to get the proper rotation and the maximum distance. And you saw the second he kicked that ball in that situation that he got underneath, the rotation of the ball was just madness. So he got under it probably an inch or so lower than he normally hit the ball. You could tell as soon as he kicked it that he was going to be short for that. But had he have trotted out there without the tee, I wonder, Jim, you know, if he struck it perfectly, I think like on the screws, just like when your driver is standing on a tee box in golf, when you catch it, I think he would add a chance of 61. And certainly, to me, that emphasizes second and four, give the ball to Andrew Harris. And even if he doesn't pick up the first down there, if he just gets you 2 yards, the difference on the outer edge of your range for a kicker going onto the field, knowing that it's just 2 more yards outside my range that you're asking from me instead of 4, is a monumental difference. Man, I would have loved to have seen them run the ball on 2nd and 4.
And do you think maybe two just 59 as opposed to 61? Like, I know
it's
the difference isn't monumental, but almost mentally though.
It is like a monumental difference.
Once it starts with a 60, like it sounds impossible.
Especially sea level in a dome. Bob Cameron didn't think that there's no way sea level in a dome. And I know what he means, like in a dome, even more so than sea level, like just the dead airness of a dome. I always felt like the ball moved better outside in the open air compared to a dome. But just nonetheless, it's still, and this is, you know, whether he should have done it or not, Justin Medlock said yes when asked if he could go out there. That I'm positive of, and he owns the responsibility of it. That'll be a play that folks remember a long time, and regardless of what happens tonight, nothing changes what transpired in that playoff game. But one thing for sure, you're going to need Justin. He's going to have to continue. You know, this perfect run that he's on, think of how many games, how critical his success has been for the Bombers to enjoy some victories, because simply he goes out for 4 field goal attempts in a game and you pocket the 12 points. Like, you know dang well that he's going to get you whenever he's out in the field. But the Bombers need to score their fair share of touchdowns against a very potent offense in BC.
Have you ever talked to Medlock? Like, are you guys?
I have not ever. No, I've never been around, been down to practice or at the stadium, and of course, John Game Day, we're always doing what we do here with the. Yeah, but it would be I would probably kneel down or bow down to him when I came across him. I like, the dude's ridiculous.
We should try and get him in studio one morning, maybe on the way to the. I mean, I know those guys go in at like 6 a.m., but
I don't know if they go in at 6 a.m., but they go in pretty early.
I don't know if kickers do, but
well. Fair question.
If practice at 11:15, kickers probably show up 11:10. No, just kidding.
Well, they'd have special teams meetings before, right? So I don't know what time that they're going in and stuff. But it would like to pick. He is pretty open and honest about the way he thinks and all the rest of it in his preparation,
and
right?
That's why I think it would just be a great for our listeners and great to hear a conversation for me and Brandon, just for you two to sit down and go back and forth on styles, philosophies, everything like that, different eras. I think that would be great.
It does suck ducks that, you know, when you retire as a left-footed kicker, having fun with your buddies, you can say that you're the greatest left-footed kicker in the history of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. And now that he's left-footed, like, what do I have now? And someone reminded me on Twitter a week or two ago that now I have to say I'm the greatest left-footed kicker with a mole on my mid-thigh. Right, like you have to further distinguish. Pretty soon it'll be something else that I'll have to add to it.
You'll always have 6-6-1.
I saw that once.
wait.
The mole,
I can get you a 94 Ford Explorer if you want to have that as well. To the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. Who's up?
North Enric.
North Enric.
Oh, dear.
How are you, sir?
I am well, gentlemen. Really gutted to hear about Kenny Shields. That's a tough one. Now, I had a little crack at being a recording artist for a little while in this town, and I was lucky enough. I didn't know Kenny well, but I was lucky enough that on my recordings I had Spider as my bassist.
Wow.
And he it was funny because I when I go to the production studio where they print the CDs and do the website and stuff.
Back in the old days, we print CDs. Yeah.
Yeah. I run into Kenny a couple times there, and he was super gracious. You know, I mean, and for somebody who was just trying to make it in an industry, even though we weren't in the same genre, it's still the same thing, right? So, and to be able to sit with him and Spider and just listen to them, I mean, to listen to them talk about the first time that they went to a studio and their first album was a one take album.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
They played a set list.
That's incredible.
So you're telling me that original, because that Action is on that.
Yeah.
That's a one-take album.
Yeah,
that is mind-blowing.
They walked into the studio, they played their set list, and left.
That is unbelievable in this
day. It's unreal.
And age. Well, it's
unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, it's fun to sit there.
It's odd, too, because today's the 30th anniversary of the release of Appetite for Destruction, and Rolling Stone put out a piece for it from Guns N' Roses, and I put out that. I read Slash's book, and the biggest part of that blows me away is along the same lines, North End Rick, is that, like, Slash's take when he said he had the shakes and needed a half bottle of vodka on Lenny Kravitz's Are You Gonna Go My Way was two takes. And he goes on about literally needing a half bottle of vodka to stop from shaking or else this isn't going to happen.
It's crazy. Huh?
Laid it down once, laid it down twice, and left. And then Appetite for Destruction for a bunch of 18 and 19-year-old kids, so many of the songs on there were often the same, one takes. Like one or two takes laid down, and then they just go on to the next one. And Slash says, basically, because most of us were so young, we didn't know that you could ask to do it 20 times
you
and look
bet.
For the best one.
Now you don't even you can do it once or twice, but they spend about 3 hours surgically improving things with auto tune and all the rest of it, right?
Like, well, I think auto tune was invented because of me.
I'll challenge you on that one, my friend.
And to the same point, Slash says in his book, that's what eventually ruined us because we went on to make other albums, and Axl would just sit in there with one riff, a 3-second bit, and would spend 2 weeks changing it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And he said eventually we just lost what we had captured on the first album of just being able to go in and lay down the spirit of what we wanted to do.
Absolutely.
I can't believe that, like, to think of the magic of, and specifically Action to me is such a wicked tune, and it may be, like, it's one of the songs that most highlights the brilliance of the voice of Shields. To think that was a one-take rip, and even the whole album like that, that's just freaking
that
awesome.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
I looked at Spider, and I was like, you're kidding me. He said, We just walked in there and we did our thing.
And in the world of music where people are so talented, that is, to me, the definition of talent, is when you can go in and just lay something down once and it's that good.
Well, but you would hear it also, though, Streetheart was always a band and Kenny Shields was always a singer. And I was saying this earlier, NER, that people, even now, and, you know, you get older as a singer, and when you're pushing the range that Kenny Shields does, that range leaves everybody. You know,
absolutely.
Like that, guys just can't sing. The guys and gals, you can't sing and reach the range anymore, even close to it. But
no.
His voice never changed. His pipes never, ever went away. That was unreal.
Yeah, but, I mean, a lot of times the guys that are really, really good are gone before they even get old. You know, you look at guys like Freddie Mercury and stuff who are gone before that even leaves them. But, I mean, yeah, when you got guys who can really hit high notes, it disappears.
Like Elton John,
long.
Right? And you're like several notes or octaves. I'm an idiot with that stuff, what they actually mean. But way lower singing the songs live than when they were recorded, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good
All
stuff,
right,
Rick. Who do you have in tonight's Bombers game?
I got BC.
BC,
I got BC. Yeah, I got to go with the home team on this one.
It's hard not to. Huh?
Gonna be a tough one for sure.
Good team.
Hey,
is a god.
We really appreciate the story there, Rick. Good stuff.
No worries.
Have a great weekend.
Take care, boys.
Take care, man.
North End Rick on the Boss Pizza fan line 780-1290. If you want to weigh in on the Bomber game or share a Kenny Shields memory or maybe what it meant to you, and you know, just on Twitter here with all the Winnipeg people just weighing in over and over on what the albums meant to them, what the time it was, and how it takes them back. If you're just joining us, Kenny Shields, lead singer of Streetheart, passed away this morning at St. Boniface Hospital, surrounded by family and friends, went peacefully. A statement from his bandmate says, Jeff Neal, on that. So if you want to weigh in with a memory on that, on maybe what he meant to Winnipeg for you, and anything else, by all means, do so. We're also getting your predictions. Not many people going with the Bombers tonight, and it'll be real interesting because Jeff Hamilton mentioned that when he joined us live from Vancouver earlier in the show today on TSN 1290, that he, too, thinks this is too tough of a test for the Bombers. But it's going to be very interesting because this is a team that seems to rise to these kind of occasions. I don't know if it can happen tonight, but it is. It's not like it's, to me, I have the BC Lions winning this game, but to me, it's not going to, like, I'm still going to watch it because there's still some intrigue around this. I'm interested to see how the Bombers compete and what they can do with Mr. Porter filling in for Mo Leggett and, of course, Ian Wild out of the lineup. It's still going to be a very interesting game.
Well, no doubt about that whatsoever. And just on a quick side note, don't forget that all the proceeds tonight for their 50-50, you don't, before it used to just be 50-50 sales were available at home games, and now road games for Bombers as well. You can take part in the 50-50 fund, and all the proceeds from it tonight go to the BC Wildfire Relief. So you can help the folks out in BC as well if you partake in the Bombers 50-50 tickets. You go to www.fundingchange.ca/Bombers and go find it. I tweeted it out as well. This game tonight, hey, the Bombers proved last year, right? And I know that you got Leggett out, you got Wild out. That doesn't help the Bombers at all. But think of Matt Nichols and the step. The questions coming into that playoff game, what is Matt Nichols? Is he going to be able to crank up his game and operate at a certain level along with the fantastic play calling and the what Paul Lapolis brings to the table? Don't be surprised at all if the Bombers are hanging right with the Lions in this one. You just kind of wonder, though, with how beat up the linebacking core is and some of the question marks in the secondary, it's not hard to envision a little bit of a track meet. You just kind of wonder if Matt Nichols and the boys can keep up.
There's just a lot of things that have to go perfect for the Bomber. Like, they have no margin of error in tonight's game,
right.
I believe.
Zero turnovers, yeah.
No penalties, no turnovers, no mistakes. All those sorts of things have to kind of go their way for them to be on the right side after 60 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, Matt Nichols is going to have a monster game. To me, there's no other way about it. And the Bombers are going to have to score probably more than 35 points to walk out of there with a victory. Although, you know, they did a similar thing last year in their regular season against BC. I can't remember the exact score, you know, at BC Place, but they put up at least 35.
Yep.
And they ended up winning that game by a couple points.
That's the thing. Sometimes you just man up well against the opposing team. And it, by all appearances in the last couple of years, it looks like Winnipeg is just sort of mans up well against what BC brings to the table.
What are your thoughts on the game, officiating the British Open, OJ, and a memory or two on Streethart and specifically Kenny Shields, who passed away this morning at St. Boniface Hospital here in Winnipeg? More of you when we come back to the Big Show. Text 1290 with standard message rates applying, or give us a call at 780-1290 on the Big Show.
This is the Big Show podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN1290.
Come around on the Big Show, TSN 1290. I know that's not the name, that's just the lyric I like. On the Big Show, TSN 1290, TSN1290.ca, and the Boston Pizza fan line, 780-1290. If you want to weigh in on the Bombers officiating. We got a tweet from a loyal listener, and I think it's funny. Kevin Canuck. Thanks, Kevin. Come on, boys, go blue. But it's a shirt, and it's a skull with a muskrat Davy Crockett hat on it, and it says blue and gold until I'm dead and cold.
Nice.
That's a cool shirt, cool logo too.
Mitch Peacock sending in a tweet saying that not only did he kick your ass on the soccer pitch, I'm just joking, he didn't say that, but he said, enjoying the TSN 1290 radio Big Show on the drive to work as usual. Love that the callers not only have nicknames, but cut down to nicknames. Hashtag NER.
I think it's fair to say that in the particular career of college soccer, Mitch played more than I did. Uh-huh. In that game, he didn't. And I'll tell you one thing. I covered more ground than him because he's skill. So he's to the feet laid off.
Uh-huh.
Whereas a defender, I was chasing a lot, running, catching up.
What year would this? Like, it's amazing to me that you recall this.
Mitch, well, we didn't actually sit down and go, hey, we played against each other, but we were doing Moose games 2 years ago, and I've known Mitch a long time prior to that. Uh-huh. When he came to Winnipeg. But we just came out to somebody mentioned something about college or whatever, or maybe the stadium, and I said, I remember playing at Foothills against Sate. And I said that thing, and I told the story of when an actual Calgary Cannon, we're getting ripped by our coach at halftime, and the complex is so old, speaking of needing new stadiums, is McMahon and Foothills Stadium. And I just remember getting ripped by our coach, and a baseball player from the Cannons game came in to take a leak. Because it wasn't in the same room.
They, like, walked into
but the complex was shared, eh? But it wasn't a closed door shared. It was open. So the baseball room was one way, and the visitor's room was another, and our room was one way, and then there was an open shower room for everybody. And we're just sitting there getting ripped because we're losing, or the way we're playing by our coach, and a Calgary Cannon walks right through and looks at us all. And then you can hear him taking a leak, and then he's walking right back. And he's got a big wad of chew in him, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
You know.
But anyway, so I think I was telling that story when Mitch goes, what year? Because I used to play, I think it was Sate or Mount Royal. It was Sate, because Mount Royal played at a different spot. And he just said, I played in that. I'm like, my God. And then I looked at him, and I remember, I think he was a midfielder, Mitch. Or maybe a striker, I don't know. But either way, as a defender, I was stopper in front of the sweeper. I just I could be wrong, but I think I remember Mitch's distinct slender body.
That's interesting. Your story reminds me of in college down at Augustana in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. This is weird, really weird to me, guys. Our football dressing room, and it was our stadium. No one else was ever there, you know, unless they had the sort of permission to be there. But get this, our change room for football. So there's, I don't know, 50, 60 guys in their big locker room. And there are 5 sit-down stalls to go number 2 if you need to do so. They faced the locker room, and there were no doors. And the first time I went in there for our first game, I'm looking, and like the stud running back saunters over there, sits down, pulls down his drawers, and is going to the washroom. And I'm like, oh my God, there is no way I am ever going to have to do that before we play. Never. So I got into the habit in college of popping Pepto-Bismol pills about 2 hours before the game. I'd take 3 or 4 of them to make sure I was shut down and okay. I did that all the way through my Bomber years.
You brought it up earlier with Anthony Harris and the Vikings. That's like a scene from Game of Thrones.
It was unreal. And let me tell you something. You got 3, 4, 5 guys from the team, O-line, D-line, and they're out taking care of intestinal things before games.
Yeah, that's...
It was just a symphonic nightmare.
Well,
that's not a diet heavy in fiber.
Like, are you kidding
vitamin
me?
C.
But like,
what
it's
world?
My story is intriguing because Mitch also played goaltender for the UVA Golden Bears in hockey. Like, and he was an older
two-sport guy,
an older person for like to be at college soccer at that age. But I think he went back
an older person
or whatever.
That's what he wants to hear.
Hey, we had a 30-year-old on our team. That's a whole different story, Harry Green. But anyway, it was just bizarre that, like, literally not remembering playing against each other, and how would we? But not only are we in the same industry, but in the same city, but actually working together now, like, literally some 20-some years after facing off against each other in an ACAC college soccer game in Calgary, Alberta, of all places.
Huh.
Shout out to you, Mitch, you speedy, slender... little. We appreciate you listening. And it is a Manuk Dentcher Blue Bomber game day. We have several things to give away today, including 2 passes to Super Spike. You have to come in and pick up these tickets prior to 4:30 at 1445 Pemina Highway. If you want those, it's going to be a great time at Maple Grove Rugby Park, 780-1290. We also have a pair of tickets to WWE Live at Bell MTS Place, September 30th, and the Canada Games volleyball event on August 12th at U of M, Friday, July 21st. So we'll give those away if you want to call in, and we'll do it in the order they come, starting with the 12th caller, because it is TSN 1290. Manuk Dentcher Blue Bomber game day tonight, 7 o'clock. Darren Bombing, Troy Westwood, Chris Walby, right up until 9, kickoff on TSN after that, and full post-game coverage with your calls as well here on the station. Kevin O with the Don Vito Roundtable at 11, the warm-up with Husser at 2, and the afternoon ride with he and Rick Ralph will have much more in tonight's Bomber game. If you're just joining us, sad news today as Winnipegger and lead singer of Streetheart, Kenny Shields, passed away peacefully with some family and friends by his side at St. Boniface Hospital. Many great memories, and he was a great sports fan of this city and the city teams, and he often listened to us here at TSN 1290 to keep up to date on the sports scene here in Winnipeg. So as a tribute and condolences to his family, friends, and fans, we leave you this morning on The Big Show on TSN 1290 with some Streetheart. R.I.P. Kenny Shields.
This is the Big Show Podcast on TSN1290.ca. Catch the Big Show with Jim Toth, Troy Westwood, and Brandon Ruwicki. Weekdays 6 to 11 on TSN 1290.